The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump. My hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. Getting closer to the Arizona Cardinals coming in town to take on the Patriots this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Just came from the locker room. A lot of media there, but few Patriots. I saw Logan Mankins with a big crowd around him. Vince Wilfork was talking. I saw Andy with a one-on-one with Tavon Wilson. So we'll look forward to see what he gets out of that. But not a lot of Patriots. I'm sure that they're very busy getting ready for the game. As Bill Belichick said yesterday in his press conference, there's a lot of good players on this Arizona Cardinals team. And I think you'd be mistaken to underestimate particularly their defense. They've got some guys on that defense that can make things happen. The problem with the Cardinals, as we talked about yesterday, is they just don't have a complementary offense. So, you know, the defense can keep it in the game, but the offense really doesn't have the manpower other than Fitzgerald to really take advantage of that. And word out of Arizona today is that Kevin Cobb will be starting. So at least that's what they're saying right now. Cobb will be the starter for the Cardinals. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Andy and Paul just got back from the locker room. Guys, any themes running today? Anything you want to set the table with?
Defensively, it's all about consistency. I think they were very excited about what they were able to do in week one. Now they want to make sure that they are able to do that every week going forward. That's, you know, listening to Vince Wilfork, he must have said the word consistent 10 times. You know, topped only by the amount of times he said point blank.
Right. Well, that's his catchphrase.
So, late in the locker room period, the linebackers came in. I didn't get a chance to hear them. Spikes and Mayo came in, Hightower, but it was literally with
2 minutes,
you know,
left.
Minutes to go in the locker room period. I didn't get a chance. The huge crowd around Mayo for that. But yeah, that's basically what I heard today from Wilfork. Not sure who else. I might have been only Wilfork. I'm trying to think of the other guys that spoke.
Mankins.
Well, Mankins spoke.
Yeah, but I was talking about, I meant defensive players.
I talked to,
right. Mankins did talk.
Wilson and Gregory a little bit about the rotation at safety. And they admitted that was a good game to start with. You know, kind of how we talked about building confidence and
right.
An offense that is run-based and starting a first-time quarterback. Gregory in particular was a good starting point. I said, it's not like you went out there and faced, you know, Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne that, you know, are always on the same page. And he said it takes a little step up this week when you have a Hall of Fame receiver on the other side of the field, regardless of what you think of the quarterback play. So those two guys were talking about building on a good first effort.
All right.
And which is what we want. I mean, we all talked about it's a confidence builder. Unless you don't build confidence, then it's really bad, because confidence builders mean you're expected to at least be good, competitive, and they were that. Now you go on to the next week.
Well, and this will be hopefully yet another confidence builder for the defense.
Yes, heading into
right.
the third game, which could be not only skill-wise is by far the best challenge, but the no huddle and what Joe Flacco's trying to do down there, it's going to challenge them in terms of that communication and everybody
on the
being
road,
on the same
hostile
page.
Environment,
yeah.
the whole
so
thing.
So they get two tune-ups, quote-unquote, before they get a pretty good challenge.
Okay. What else do we have? What about the offense?
I didn't talk to any offensive players. I talked to Justin Francis. Not only did he get a black jersey, he was the Dirty Show Player of the Week. He's got the belt in his locker.
I saw that.
Said he plans on it staying there all year. It's not leaving.
Good.
Loves it. He was legitimately proud of it. You know, I think some guys probably see something like, I want to start. I don't want to win the
right,
Dirty
right.
Show. Not him. He had legitimate pride in having won that last week. He said he did a good deal of Cameron Wimbley. You know, he played him, but he moved around a little bit. But he certainly was kind of the outside pass rusher last week. I also talked to him a little bit about our NASCAR thing, about
the Giants.
You know, well, yeah. and them. You know, Jermaine Cunningham, they've played inside. Now the next step is to find another guy so you can have kind of the four defensive ends on the field at once. I think Francis, who could be a guy that could do that, and I was just talking about, like, how it changes in there. He joked, you got to have a plan. That's the most important thing because he says – that's legitimately the trenches. When you get inside there, if you don't have a plan, you get killed. That's no joke, I think he said, in terms of NFL play in there.
Joining us today as a guest in the studio is Warren Ladd out of the UK. Warren's in for the game. Hello, Warren.
Hi, guys.
Closer to the mic.
Sorry.
He doesn't want to talk.
Oh. And he touched something that sounds terrible.
Something just exploded.
In his mouth.
No, my
what?
God Almighty, what is wrong with you?
Put your lips together and
well,
come
welcome, Warren.
Close.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Warren was asking me.
He says thanks for having him. For those of you who couldn't,
Paul
hear.
Will be the interpreter.
you know I don't.
Mark
speak
Williams
Spanish.
Is the answer. Mark from Cheddar.
Okay.
What's the question?
He just sent me an email, which we'll read later. But Mark from Cheddar, Warren was at. He's saying, "Boy, Mark from Cheddar's a." You know, really, he sends good emails. I was just wondering.
A lot of games. Yeah.
One of the best emailers.
A lot of game playing with him.
Yeah. So
I got a question for you, our Brit. What's the deal with this $500 million home on Hyde Park they're selling?
Well, it's a good location, you know.
location.
The mic is on.
Did you see that?
What's that?
The Hyde Park home. Because that's where we stayed, right? Aren't we on Hyde Park?
Well, Park Lane.
No, we stayed on Park Lane. Yeah.
No, but the park is Hyde Park, right?
Yeah, it's next to it.
So this house is on that park
somewhere.
Yeah,
it's next to it.
Yeah, so this house is in that area. It's on Hyde Park somewhere.
Okay.
And it's 300 and something million pounds, so it's $500 million or whatever.
Wow.
Some Saudi Arabian somebody owned it and died or something, but it's like 60,000 square feet.
Oh.
It was actually six homes that are now all, you know,
oh my goodness.
Apparently everything inside is like gold plated and gold, you know, on the walls and everything.
I bet you they don't have as much property as you though.
But I don't care about, I can't even, like $500 million for one place, one
right,
home.
Right.
Like the way I think about that, the richest person I know is Robert Kraft and he's a billionaire.
Right.
But I'm not sure he could really afford that. That would
no.
cut well into his net worth of, and if he can't afford it, that just makes it seem ridiculous
to
me.
That's a big mortgage nut.
Yeah, that's what they call a jumbo mortgage.
Right.
Can I get a refi?
That boggles my mind. It just, you Brits,
I can't imagine that a home would cost that much.
I would like to know what the mortgage payment legitimately
would
be.
Well, I just want to know what makes it that much. Like, what are
well, it's big.
The cool things that...
Oh, there's elevators, there's everything. But I think gold is one of the first, that it's literally like a gold-plated interior.
Yeah, see, that doesn't impress me.
Me either. You know? It doesn't impress me that I have to have, like, neighbors and stuff. If I spend $500 million, I expect an island out in the middle of nowhere that
right.
I own the whole damn
but
thing.
But I can't see that costing $500 million. Like, what is...
Now, some of it, I think they said, is it's all, like, secure. Like, all the windows are bulletproof,
right.
and it's, like, secure in that way.
Yeah.
But I still...
A lot of technology.
Probably.
Yeah.
It just boggles my
but
mind.
But still, I mean, you know, does it have Wi-Fi?
I don't know. You're going to hook them up?
Panic room?
The stadium will have Wi-Fi this Sunday, by the way. So we're excited
so it
about that.
Why do you go there?
I'm just being a jerk.
Okay.
I have a role to fill here.
I can't argue with him on
Are you
that.
Confident?
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Nothing's
going
to happen. That there will not be outages.
No. No.
100% confident.
I mean, there might be like a little area that, you know, who knows? It's hardware. So, like, could a wire become disconnected?
And is all this weather
It's all weatherproof. Yep.
So when we get in, it's 12 degrees and snow and it'll
definitely
still work.
Consideration that was made.
Okay,
yep.
Good.
Absolutely. Yep.
What are we into this for? 15 million?
Oh, geez. Web radio.
It's everywhere, by the way.
What is?
I'm sure you're happy about that. What? Like, I went on Yahoo or something, like little stories down the bottom, links. I've seen a lot of links to New England Patriots Stadium Wi-Fi,
yeah,
Gillette Stadium.
I really don't care about people on the internet reading about it. All I care about is the fans here having a good
experience. You just
want to
make them happy.
That's it.
That's what you do.
Don't care about the notoriety, just the experience. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Yesterday, we talked a lot about Wes Welker.
We're not talking about him anymore.
No, but I got a good email from a Jay, who, and we can leave it at this. He said, in the game, Welker played 43 of 67 snaps. Of the 24 snaps he didn't play, 14 were runs, 2 were on the goal line, and 1 was a QB taking a knee. So, you know, I think that is a good reason to not get all worried about this. Plus, the fact that, you know, a guy like Gronkowski only got targeted 6 times, 1 time more than
that, I think, is a more solid argument.
And he was
the other
on the field more because he's blocking.
You don't tell me that they didn't have runs last year, they didn't have goal line plays last year, they didn't have kneel downs last year, and he still played 90% of the time.
Yeah.
The thing I find is interesting is I believe it was 43 of 67 snaps for Welker and then 23 of 67 for Edelman. What do you add those up to?
67? 66.
66. But my point is it even looks like it's a perfect when Welker's out, Edelman's in. And I don't, I haven't done
and that's
the
more
breakdown.
Or less what it was, because if you
not
took out
to Fred.
No, I know, but
so we're going to talk about
you're
this.
You're down
huh?
to a very minimum of 8, because the possession after that Welker wasn't in was 5 plays. I went back and looked. So that gets you down to 18 snaps for Edelman that he potentially could have been on the field with Welker. That's not very many.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. All right, so we can get right into the emails unless you guys have something else that
you
want to bring up.
I heard when we were coming in you were talking up. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't hear me.
I can hear you.
The Cardinals defense.
Yeah.
And that to me is we make fun of Belichick for kind of selling teams, and I think they have legitimate playmakers all over their defense.
Well,
guys that can ruin your game in a variety of ways, from interceptions to big hits to
Dockett
knocking somebody out of a game.
They're not that far removed from being a Super Bowl team. And something had to be the base of them being that good.
Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald.
But they weren't like a high scoring team back then.
Of course
they
were.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how
points?
They got. Yes, that's how they got there.
No.
Yeah.
They outscored everybody.
Yeah.
They actually have a better defense now than they did then.
Yes.
Well, but I think I think they've built on that. I think that defense was in the making. And, you know, I think they had a foundation in, you know, with Wilson and so on. And I think they've gotten better.
Yeah, but they've added huge pieces to that
puzzle.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a ton of. I mean, Wilson was there, no doubt. Dockett.
He might have been there, but Peterson wasn't.
Peterson
Acho
wasn't. Campbell
Lennon
wasn't.
Campbell wasn't. You know, that's the guts of their – Kerry Rhodes wasn't.
Kerry Rhodes
Well, they
wasn't.
Got him from the Jets.
And more importantly, James Sanders wasn't.
Well,
Did you see, is
he actually playing?
He got praised. He got the quote from Wisenhunt that Belichick once gave him. When you're putting a team together, you want guys like James Sanders. He's that kind of guy. He didn't say he was going to play or anything.
was my question.
Campbell was a rookie on that team.
Okay. But, yeah, I mean, they're better defensively now. And the other thing that Bill is trying to sell everybody on is, like, they're the hottest team in football because they're 8-2 in their last
10. 8-2 in their last 10.
Right.
Some of those, they have decent wins in there, and they have bad wins in there.
I mean,
when you play in the NFC West, Seahawks are in there 2 or 3 times. The Rams are in there twice. You know, they did beat the Niners at least once.
I don't like
when he refers to
last year,
because that's not, you know, we're not. Because
he's Mr. What happened last year doesn't matter, except
exactly.
when it matters.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, I would counter to him that the Patriots have won, what is it, 9, 10, 11, 11 of the last 12.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They won the last 8 of the regular season, 2-1 in the playoffs.
What happened last week, last month, last year, Paul, doesn't matter.
If you brought that up, he would shoot
it
down.
I wouldn't bring that up to him.
No, I know.
Because I know how much it would bother him.
Right.
I wouldn't.
Right.
I mean, Eric might, because he's looking to start
Eric
a fight.
Wouldn't, because he doesn't talk to him. But the defense angle, I think, is legit. They can't just show up and think they're going to roll.
And that's
like
good.
They did last time.
You know, and
47-7. Larry Fitzgerald, you say the worst game he's ever been a part of or something like
that? Oh, really? I thought it was
embarrassed. Embarrassed
he was
by that
asked
game
about,
still.
You know, Bill's praise of Fitzgerald, and Bill, you know, called him arguably, he said that?
Yeah.
He was like stunned. I'm surprised he even knows my name. He's the greatest ever, greatest coach ever.
See, I think Bill loves that because it softens up the other guy. You know, I really do. I think it softens the other guy up.
What are you talking about?
Just why do you do this all the time?
Just the mentality. It's like
I thought Bill liked it because it massages his ego.
I want my players looking across the field and hating everybody over there. I don't want them. Yeah, I like that guy. He was nice to me. I don't want them.
I don't think anybody hates Larry Fitzgerald.
You're right.
He doesn't have a hateable bone in his body.
All the players in the locker room have said the same thing that the coach said.
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald, Devin McCourty talked to Andy yesterday. That guy, he's unbelievable. He catches everything. It doesn't matter where it is. I mean, is that hate?
It softens him up.
Softens who up?
But who, McCourty or Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald.
Okay, so it doesn't work the other way. Then.
No.
Okay. As long as we have some logic behind it, now I see.
Yeah, go to emails. You're right.
We don't have anything else we need to talk about.
Not with you, anyway.
I played sports, so I kind of know.
he once had a singlet that looked like a thong.
There was a lot of trash talk on the wrestling mat.
Did you watch the McCourty Mic'd Up Brothers?
No.
Sound effects. I watched the first three quarters of it before. Apparently, you can't pause it and then restart it. At least not on our internet.
He was in the middle of watching.
He
something.
He stops
I went
me
over
and says something. I couldn't go back to it.
And he couldn't get
I
it
hate
back
computers.
On.
I absolutely hate computers and technology. But it was actually funny. McCourty, I found very strange. Pre-game warm-ups. I probably should say which one.
I was going to say
Devin. You know, everybody. He's a captain. He's a leader. Whatever. In the secondary warm-ups, he yelled something to the effect of, let's show them what we've been working on all summer. We're going to shock the world today. And I'm thinking, you're facing a team with no receiving threats and a first-time quarterback. Who are you going to shock and how?
Shock the world, yeah.
By what, getting away with a pass interference?
Shock and awe.
Yeah.
And then his brother made me laugh because Ridley had a run to the outside. He tackles him, and he said, like, you know, something to the effect, all day, I'm going to hit you all day. I might not hit hard, but I'm going to hit you all day. I think that stuff is just gold.
There's probably a ton of that, too, on the field.
Like, he also talked trash, more actual trash, to Hernandez, who was blocking him. Something about, better keep your head up, you're going to block me. Better put a mouthpiece in, too. Like, he tried to be all tough.
Right.
Didn't even try with Ridley, though. I won't hit hard, but I'm going to hit you a lot.
Anthony is in North Carolina. I'm just getting through Tuesday's show. I'm not in regular season form for PFW Progress, and heard Kevin's description of what Brady said on EEI regarding his low throws. What Brady actually said was that it was a result of him being indecisive, and that when he is indecisive, he tends to throw towards the feet.
Okay. A lot of that talk, a lot of corrections of Kevin's version of the interview.
You know, we got to clean up. We got to clean up
his mess, as usual.
You think you wouldn't have to, but evidently we do.
Okay. Anything else? And by the way, Paul was magnanimous enough to give me a 2-1 record.
2-1
for the picks, because I didn't make my picks. So I would have picked the Patriots.
Right.
I got the Cowboys right, and I would have picked the Bills to beat the Jets. So I'll take that loss.
And the rest, we'll never know.
Yeah, but we're going to do our picks this week at the end of the show today.
Because there's a game tonight. Thursday night football. Green Bay Packers at home looking to avoid losing 3 straight on the not-yet-frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Imagine that. If they go 0-2 to start the year.
Just shows you, last year doesn't count.
Except when you're talking about the other team and you're Bill Belichick.
Right. Or except for when they lost 2 of their last 4 last year.
All right.
They lost 2 of their last 4 last year. They're on a little bit of a losing streak here.
Sure. So are the Patriots. 1-1 in their last 2. But it's fact. I saw somebody today wrote this like weird, was it, who wrote it? Something about, you know, the Patriots have lost the final game in each of the last X number of years.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, a couple times that's been the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
yeah. I wrote it.
I was like, wow, he can really spin anything into a negative. Did you listen to Archie Manning on the radio this morning? He was on 98.5.
I heard them pimping it, but
he actually stole a line from the Paul Perillo book.
No, that can't be.
He was talking
about. I just drink to get drunk?
No, he's talking about how
science?
A lot of stuff with the Mannings, obviously, his sons, and then Brady and how much he loves Brady. And people don't realize how close Peyton and Tom really are. They're really good friends. And he didn't want to get into who's better, who's going to go down as – but he goes, I mean, you look at Brady. He's won it all. You know, he's won 3 Super Bowls. I mean, he could have won 6. And the hosts were like, ooh, yeah, except for your son stopped him, right, right? And he's like, whoa, I'm praising the Patriots here. And that's a Paul Perillo line. I'm defending the Patriots, Fred.
There you go.
That is.
He was very entertaining, though. Does he do anything? He's not like a TV guy or anything, is he, anyway?
I don't think so.
I thought he was pretty good.
I mean, he's been in the public.
Yeah, they drag him out anytime the two brothers play and that type of thing. So.
Yeah, no, I just he was.
He certainly does his share of media stuff because he's always quoted.
He's a whore.
Yeah, he's out there.
Is there an email coming about who I'd like to see get hit really hard? I think there is. I thought I saw one of those come through.
Eric.
No, it was a choice
who,
of
who you
Eli
would like to see
get hit really hard, and it was Eli, Peyton, or Mark Sanchez. Who would you like to see get hit the hardest? And mine's easy. It's a layup for Eli Manning. I hate Eli Manning. Can't stand Eli Manning.
You don't like him?
Can't stand him from day one, picking and choosing where he's going to play, to his whole shtick. Everything about him I hate.
I don't have any problem with any of those things.
I don't either. Well, Sanchez, I...
Because he's a Jet.
Yeah.
And he's got those dots on his
face. Right.
Those dots kind of bother me.
Right.
That's a good enough reason. Yeah. He's a Jet. I'll go with Sanchez.
He's got those cafeteria lady dots.
So you don't care that Eli beat your team for...
What's that?
You know, greatest season ever.
People expect me to hate the Giants. I don't the way I hate the Jets.
I don't hate the Giants. I just hate Eli.
Even though they beat us in 2 huge games, I can't muster the hatred for them that I do other teams.
I'll admit it's a big exception. You know, the one that Andy brought up about Eli. You know, I don't care for what he did coming into the league, but really as a pro since he's been in the NFL. I can't think of one thing that he's ever done that I've said. Yeah, I'm not a big, you know me, I'm not a big, the body language thing doesn't really bother me.
He makes it.
I know Derek Lowe stunk when he was on the Red Sox, but his body language never really bothered me. I don't know.
Oh, he was drunk, not stunk. You confuse those two words.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
That's why you had a rubber arm when you're drunk. It's easy to just go through.
2-3-9-8. Mike,
you have a pitch drunk?
Mike in Puerto Rico. We haven't heard from Mike in Puerto Rico since, I don't know, before they were part of the United States. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Part of the United States. That's funny, Frank. How you guys doing? Long time no hear.
Yeah, are you going to get Paul mad?
Nah.
No, I was actually going to ask. I got one basketball question and one football question. I heard that you wanted to get your LASIK done, Paul.
That is correct. I'm going
to
do that.
And he's not going to Puerto Rico to do it.
Yeah, no.
Well, I just did it yesterday. I just got mine done yesterday.
How's it feeling?
Actually, the sensitivity to light is kind of harsh, but the doctor says I just came back from my appointment, and she said that it'll probably go away in a couple of days. And I'm seeing fine. Farsighted. I just having a little problem on the nearsighted. But again, she says it could take a couple of weeks for that to sort itself out.
So we'll have to hear from you in a couple of weeks to see how it worked out.
And then the thing that she did say, and I don't know if you know about this, the longer you wait, the older you are, the shorter the long-term effects are. Because it usually lasts, I mean, the best age to do it is in your 20s because it lasts up until your mid-40s. But if you wait until your 40s, then it only lasts maybe 5 or 6 years, and you might need glasses again.
Yeah, oh. I have been told that very rarely is it a permanent fix.
So yours is only going to last about a month, Paul.
Right, right. I have been told that.
Now, does obesity affect it?
Okay, so as far as that, good luck with that. But if you want to get it done, I suggest you get it done as soon as possible so you can get the maximum benefit out of it. So.
Call Dr. Melky. Okay.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. We
had a second thing.
Oh, okay. What else, Mike?
What is your most surprising and least surprising out of these facts that happened this weekend?
John Dennis on the line.
Contributions.
Wait, I didn't hear the first one.
Paul was babbling. Start over.
Yeah.
Which one is the most impressive and which one is Stephen Ridley's contribution on Sunday, running, the defense, you know, progression, Wes Welker's lack of production, or the Jets' total point score. What is the most impressive and least impressive? Most expected and least expected.
Well, that's a tough one because it's a tie between Ridley and the Jets as far as least expected. I didn't expect that type of output from either of those.
I did.
You did, from the Jets.
I think it's impressive, but it's what we've been talking about for Ridley. Like, I won't say that I expected him to have 125 yards, 6 yards a carry, and have 5 runs over 15 yards.
Right.
But I did expect him to add a spark to the ground
absolutely.
Game and to be good.
Right, right. Okay.
So it wasn't that, like, I probably thought a good day would have been 85 yards with 2 runs or 3. You know what I mean? He was better than I expected, but not like out of nowhere.
Yeah, okay.
So
the Welker thing was the least expected to me. I didn't expect him to be.
What about the defense?
We thought we'd see improvement in playmaking. Yeah. We've seen it this summer on the practice field with Tom Brady. We kind of thought we'd see it with Jake Locker.
And I thought, the Andy's part.
And they're one-dimensional.
I knew they weren't playing a good offense.
Yeah, I wasn't that surprised at what the defense did.
So I'm going to go Jets. I'm going to go the Jets very much surprised me.
Jets surprised me, too. I thought they would win the game, but not like that.
Yeah. 48 points.
Well, and I was also surprised at the Bills laying down like they did. So that was a comment. That whole game surprised
Because, you know, they think they should be in the same sentence as the Patriots.
Right. That whole game surprised. Well, good question, Mike, and don't be a stranger. Call in again. Thanks for the call. Let's get to Darren in Portland, Maine, who writes in just a comment. This is about Welker. Spreading the ball around to numerous receivers, including Welker, might serve to keep folks healthier as the season progresses. That would be my reasoning. And by the way, perhaps when Josh tells us we didn't play Welker because our game plan didn't call for him, it could be the truth. Now shut the hell up and call it a moment of silence for your recently deceased dignity. Wow. We've lost our dignity.
I thought he was going to say dignitary, because we actually did lose it.
Yeah, that's crazy going on over there.
And it's turning into a political war, too, which I don't care for immediately.
Dan writes in, and he says, few questions and a few not. What's better during the season? Brady sacked 3 times, no interceptions per game, or Brady interceptions 3 times and 0 sacks per game?
The sacks. 3 sacks, 0 interceptions.
Right.
If he throws 3 picks every game, they're not going to win a lot of games.
Did he say 3 interceptions every game?
And no sacks, right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, the interceptions are much more damaging to an offense than a sack.
Sure. Ridley, 1,200 rushing yards / Welker, 600 receiving, or Ridley, 750 rushing yards, and Welker, 1,300.
Ridley, 1,200.
Yeah.
Because the tight ends are the focal point, and a nice complimentary season from Welker at 700 yards. You got a good offense there.
Mayo, 180 tackles, or Jones, 17 sacks.
I'll take the 17 sacks.
17 sacks.
And big win over the Bills in close loss to the Ravens, or a close loss to the Bills and a big win over the Ravens?
Close loss to the Bills, big win over the Ravens.
I agree.
Just because it proves more.
Well, plus when I'm battling them for the number one seed or number two seed.
I don't worry about Buffalo.
You don't worry about AFC East and all that stuff?
No, we already won the AFC East. We have enough wins already to win the AFC East.
Yeah, I just don't think a whole lot of Buffalo. So if you get upset by a team that's not as good as you are once.
It happens
almost every year to the Patriots.
Not a big deal. But,
Miami,
you know,
Buffalo, Cleveland.
Baltimore potentially is a team that could be there at the end. Baltimore, Houston, I'd take
And
wins.
A big win is,
I'll take those wins.
Put them in their place.
Plus Baltimore, they have been really, really close to this team of late.
Yeah.
And if they get over the hump,
they're nipping their heels, right?
I'd rather they say, huh, we're not as close as we thought. We just got it handed to us.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's Baltimore playing this week? Do we know?
No. But I can tell you that UFC 152,
Philly,
where John Bones Jones defends his title, is in Toronto.
Okay.
So if the Jones family wanted to make the East Coast kind of the Toronto and then down to Baltimore next week, they could probably do it 2 nights.
Probably not, says Dan. Who would you like to see Chandler Jones hit harder? Oh, who would you like
this
to see?
This is it.
Who would you like to see Chandler Jones hit harder, Peyton, Eli, or Sanchez?
Eli, easy. Sorry, I didn't mean to say
that. And I say Sanchez.
And Paul says, I'm just a lover, not a hater.
And
I would say Sanchez if I had to pick one of those three, though.
Is there another option you'd like to throw in the mix for Chandler Jones to hit?
Oh, Michael Vick.
It's funny. He doesn't like dogs, and yet he hates Michael Vick.
Mm. I don't like Michael Vick, no. Let's see.
Fred, I'll open it up to you, too, while he's...
Roethlisberger.
Take it's funny. Him. He doesn't like women. He doesn't like Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger's a good one. What about Peyton Manning?
He's on the list.
He's on
idiot.
The list. I have no problem
oh,
with
Peyton.
The Mannings.
Yeah, yeah. What about...
I mean, I want to...
And I'll open this
how
up
about
a
Jay
little
Cutler?
Bit.
Jay Cutler? Wouldn't be my Aaron Rodgers, top of the list.
Aaron Rodgers, okay.
Because he doesn't like his
I don't care for his comportment.
Just catapulted over a rapist and a dog killer on Paul's list.
Fastest over 40 yards, B-Lo or Jackie UK?
Jackie UK. Yeah. She works out.
Jackie's in good shape. Yeah.
She was showing me she did like 15-foot rope climbs this morning, and she's got like rope burn on her legs.
And she has an advantage at the tape.
Why was she showing her rope burns on her legs, Warren?
She does have an advantage on the tape, and she doesn't have to lean over.
Right. You might want to tweet that out later. I know you're a big Twitter guy.
Keep up the arguing.
He really
and
doesn't
loving,
want to talk.
And loving the three-day thing. We're going to do it all in season.
Most season long.
Yeah, except when there's a Monday night game.
And then we'll get all those emails saying, I hate listening to EEI.
Right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Neil from Canada writes in.
Enough with all the pleasantries with Warren. Where's lunch?
Lunch is in. Lunch has been put in.
It's in what? It's not in my mouth.
No, I mean, the order has been put in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was done before the show, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. What'd you order?
Roast beef.
Roast beef.
Is that big with you Brits? No fish and chips?
Beef Wellington. Is big over
What's
there.
Beef Wellington? Is that the white sauce on top?
I just figure Wellington is some guy that was a biggie in
pastry.
England.
The Duke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's inside the pastry? Yeah. Oh, I've had that. That's yummy. The flake pastry or whatever you call it? Oh, yeah, that's good.
Neil says, I think it's laughable how quickly you're willing to call Wes a third option in the passing game. There is little doubt in my mind that Welker will lead the team in receptions by at least 10.
You're drunk.
It's easy to count him out when you are rolling over the Tennessee Titans in week one with the running game and the tight ends who have just signed big contracts. Injuries are more than likely going to happen to the offensive skill positions, and I still feel that our running back depth sucks. Welker has proved, despite his small frame, to have great durability, even when with catching passes left and right. Not to mention he is still Brady's longest, most trusted receiver, especially with Branch gone. He has made so many critical third down plays for this team, and all of this week one nonsense will be long forgotten when he is leaned on again this year. Everyone always talks about how Brady makes Welker look good and how he would take a steep decline on another team. What about what Wes has done for Brady? Before Welker, people still said that Brady was a system quarterback and that he himself would not flourish on another team, which is, of course, untrue. The fact is they complement each other quite well. So here's to number 83, Super Bowl 47 MVP.
Signed, WW.
come on now.
Most of that email I agree with. The lack of depth at running back, the likelihood that Hernandez is going to miss time because he has every year and he's already limping around a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of truth to that email. I just don't think he's going to end up leading the team in receptions.
Well, and I also don't buy any of the last part. I don't think Welker made Brady.
No, he made Moss.
That's even funnier. There was one part, as is normal, that I took a little bit of offense to. The nonsense. Why is it nonsense to talk about this? Like, we talked about it yesterday. Why is that nonsense? Like, this guy obviously doesn't think they're going to run the ball like we did in week one all year, right?
He's very negative.
So if you're saying right now, if you're talking about Stephen Ridley and how great he was, is that nonsense? I don't think it's nonsense. I thought he played great in week one. Right?
What are you doing? He's talking to you.
No, he isn't. He's talking to the emailer.
He's looking right at you when talking.
I'm talking to you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a show.
You were staring right at Fred, so I thought you were talking to him.
I don't have anything.
Stop yelling at me, Paul.
I don't understand. Why?
I thought it was more of a rhetorical question.
Why when we discuss some element of the Patriots, do people think, well, it's nonsense? It's not nonsense. I mean, we put some opinions out there and some analysis out there, and some of it people agree with. Obviously, the Welker stuff yesterday, no one agreed with. They think it's nonsense.
Nick was the one, the caller, who said he was obsolete.
Right. None of us
None of us agreed with that.
But he didn't say obsolete. He said the third option. I think he is the third option.
He was calling us. That's nonsense. We were the ones that provided the nonsense of the third option.
In the passing game, he is at least the third option. I mean, Hernandez and Gronkowski are one and two.
And he's calling that nonsense.
And
he thinks that's nonsense.
Yeah, that's not nonsense.
That's all I'm saying.
But he can argue it.
Exactly. I just don't like the
word. It's not fact. It's not even close to fact. The man has had 120-plus catches like two of the last 3 years. He led the team in receptions last year, had his best season. I mean, there is an argument for he's the number one option. Just in week one, he wasn't.
But you know, just to continue on, at the end he says that Brady was considered a, you know, quote-unquote system quarterback before Welker got here. I don't agree with that analysis, but it's not nonsense to say
right.
that.
Right.
That's a guy's opinion. He's making an analysis. You could make an argument for that. I mean, it's not like he just threw it out of left field. Brady was sort of considered a guy who did, you know, made plays when he had to. He was clutch late. He relied on his defense, avoided mistakes. And then all of a sudden, Welker and Moss got here in 07, and it became an aerial circus.
We were killing people.
So I don't think it's nonsense to say that. I don't necessarily agree. I think Brady was already well-established. I think he proved in 06, without any receivers at all, that he was much more than a game manager.
Archie included that in there. That was the sixth one. They very easily could have won six Super Bowls, and I'm including the two they lost and that AFC title
right.
game against Peyton, he
That's
said.
That's true.
I thought that was interesting for him to just kind of throw that out there.
Yep.
So apparently he is like Patriots fans. It was a lock that they were going to win the Super Bowl if they won the AFC title game.
Right. You don't agree?
Well, Paul gets mad at that.
It's
They've never
nonsense.
Lost a game they didn't play.
No, if you were asking me if
it's
I thought
nonsense.
They it's not nonsense to say that. I right. think they would have beaten Chicago, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a difference between, yeah, I think they would have beaten Chicago and saying, yeah, they should have had six.
Warren, where's all your other Brits?
They're coming to town over the next few days.
Oh, okay. How come you came early?
I came
to see us?
Well, to see you guys. I went to Cape Cod for a few days.
Oh, nice.
Oh, whereabouts on the Cape?
See any sharks?
No, I saw some whales yesterday.
Paul, you were on the Cape yesterday?
Nonstop assault every
Whereabouts on the
day.
Cape did you go, Warren?
I was in Falmouth. I went to the vineyard.
Yeah, the vineyards.
Tuesday.
Yep.
And then on Wednesday, went up to Provincetown.
Oh, nice.
Went out on the boat and just had
Eric.
Quickly came back.
That's great. Maurice says, do you think we'll see Greg Salas anytime soon? Why would they trade for him and not use him? He's bigger, taller, and faster than Welker. He needs to play.
That's nonsense. Paul, is that nonsense?
No, but evidently the guy who just emailed in thinks it's nonsense because he thinks Welker's going to lead the team in receptions by 10, at least.
Do you think Salas will see the field soon?
Yes.
Because
of the lack of depth at running back, there's a lack of depth at receiver, and when Brandon Lloyd pulls a hamstring or Welker is concussed for a week.
Or when they're not having a game plan that specific week, and
right.
that's part I do agree with Josh McDaniels. There'll be a week that they're not planning on having three tight ends out there 10 times. They're not planning on running the ball 35 times, and they might need extra receivers.
I do think it's a little interesting.
Let's get them up to speed, though.
We'll
you know?
See how Edelman is in this. I don't think it's Salas and Welker is really, but does Salas pass Edelman at some point for reps and get those reps when Welker's not in or in multiple receiver sets?
Yeah.
That is, I think, because I think the tone of Paul and Andy was a little bit of give up on Julian Edelman this summer, and he's a punt returner.
That was definitely my tone.
And he's never really established himself as a receiver. Well, for week one, he was a receiver. He was in the
yep.
rotational mix. Salas wasn't. Does that stay, or does Salas learn the offense and pass him up? You know,
right.
I think that's an interesting thing to
Those
keep an
were
eye
his
on.
Most meaningful wide receiver reps since his rookie year, I think. Edelman, I'm talking about. You know, when he played for Welker, in those games early in the, '09 season?
Yeah.
And then he had to play in the playoff game, obviously.
Right.
Those were the most meaningful reps he's had since then, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I just dropped my knife. That's all right. I got another one. Thank you, Kevin. Michelle Stockholm.
Play-by-play here on PFW.
Great radio.
Michelle Stockholm writes in, had this completely irrelevant discussion argument with a friend, who's a Saints fan, by the way, about indoor passing and kicking field goals. My friend says a 30-plus yard pass is the same indoors as it is outdoors, and there's no difference kicking a 45-yard field goal indoors versus one at, let's say, Heinz Field. I say he's crazy. You don't have to agree with me, but perhaps you can settle who wins the argument. And I'm not saying Brady is a better quarterback than Breeze, even though he is. I'm merely saying there's a huge difference, which leads me to it will be interesting to see how Manning handles the weather in Denver later this year. I actually rounded off the argument very Andy-esque by calling him a pompous douchebag. Quite proud of myself, actually.
I have taught you well.
I definitely agree with Michelle on the kicking. I don't think there's
any. On both.
I don't think there's a huge difference in the passing of a 30-yard pass. Unless you're talking about significant weather elements.
But at any time, there can be an element.
Yeah, but there has to be elements in play.
But I think
outdoors in perfect conditions. Kicking a 45-yard field goal off grass outdoors is harder than it is indoors.
Yes.
Perfect conditions.
But
In a pass, it's the same. Perfect conditions outdoors.
Well, yeah, but it's
you're
never
absolutely
perfect conditions.
Right. No, what I'm saying is
there's
Sunday,
always some wind or there's always
Sunday.
Some something.
There was no difference between throwing the ball indoors than it was Sunday in Tennessee. based on what Fred and Eric were saying.
I think the real question is, over a long period of time,
of course,
there's conditions, a quarterback whose home field is indoors likely to do better. You know,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, if they're the same talent.
No, the same guy.
Yeah.
If Tom Brady was indoors, would his numbers be, you know, for his career, would his numbers have been better than they were at Gillette Stadium?
Yes.
So that's the answer.
Because I have seen balls he's thrown that looked like they were affected by the wind.
Right.
And he would not have that unless they turned up the AC.
All right.
I would agree with that, but I'll play devil's advocate because I'm the best at that.
You're not good at it.
How much has he benefited from the conditions because he's such a good bad weather quarterback? Has he gotten some completions because the other team couldn't handle the conditions?
Maybe, but I think that wouldn't overrule the other.
It's weak.
Yeah.
I think he's gotten some advantage
Even for me?
The quarterback on the other side couldn't compete in the conditions, and that helped made it easier for him to be successful and win games. I think that's
well
true.
Winning.
I was
is
thinking
not
of a
same.
Couple of Deion Branch bombs that when there was no one around him in the snow and he was the only guy standing and caught the ball and ran 75 yards, like in Chicago.
But that was just a great throw.
Oh yeah,
it was.
There was no one covering him.
Oh no, I don't remember that play the same. I remember him
then
splitting
it's a
the cover
play that
too.
I'm thinking of.
I remember the safety was here and the corner was here and he put it right in the center and Deion just kept right on going.
I thought he got behind everybody.
Of course.
On him.
You're everything but Patriots Paul Perillo.
Same thing in the Denver. Why is that anti-Patriot?
I actually agree with Paul. And
why is that anti-Patriot that we put together a play that got a guy wide open?
Because you're
why
saying
is that anti-Patriot?
There was no one there. It was just a layup of a play.
That's good for the Patriots. I don't understand why that's anti-Patriot.
Yeah, but you're saying there was no competition.
No, I'm not. I'm saying the Patriots beat the competition.
No, you're not. You're saying there was no one competing.
Well, I don't mean it to say there's no one competing. There was 11 guys on the field. I'm not saying
you make
that
it like
at all.
There was no skill involved because
no
one covered him.
That's definitely putting words in my mouth.
An innocuous question can
on a hypothetical.
Right.
that's
don't go anywhere.
That's legendary even for us.
Michelle says super excited about the game at Wembley. Finally, I get to see some real football versus soccer, where they have a tendency to fall as bowling pins. Very unmanly, I must say. So that's Michelle in Stockholm. Thank you. All right, food's here.
We're with you, Michelle, on
but
your whole
Kevin
indoor
is not.
Outdoor thing.
Where did he go?
I don't know. He just ran out that door. So read another email.
All right, I'll read another email. Anyway, thanks for the lunch, Warren.
Yes, thank you very much. You're the best for today, anyway.
Pete in Brisbane writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, discovered your show about 3 or 4 seasons ago, and I have to say it's helped my knowledge of football, which is limited in any case, to no end, having only really gotten into the sport in 2007. Can't thank you for that enough. I was just wondering, although the precedent has been set for QBs staying around till their late 30s, early 40s, is Ryan Mallett really the choice to take over from Tom Brady in the long run? Or do you think that they'll look to draft a quarterback in the early rounds over the next couple of seasons? I don't think that Ryan Mallett is the heir apparent to Tom Brady.
I don't either.
I just think Brady's going to be here too long.
I do, too, and I'm not overly in love with Ryan Mallett.
Yeah, to me, it's about Mallett. I agree with you guys, but it's less about Brady as it is about Mallett. I don't think Mallett's the heir apparent.
Because if Mallett was great, then you might get down to a Brett Favre-Aaron Rodgers situation.
Absolutely. If he was good enough, I wouldn't have any problem with giving him the keys. I don't think he's good enough.
Also, that Nick guy was a total ass the other day. How can Welker become obsolete over the course of a single game? I mean, come on. He's around for this season at least, so let's take advantage of the skill set he brings whilst he's here. Surely a slot receiver is a good weapon to have. And, oh, by the way, Andy, seeing as you use this term more than most, what the hell is a jag? Urban Dictionary doesn't have a clear definition.
Just a guy.
Just another guy or just a guy.
Just an average run-of-the-mill jag.
Right. Cheers, guys. Keep up the great work educating football dumbasses like me. And, as always, F the Jets. So we like to do that. Kevin's back. Food's here. Thank you, Warren. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Tom, there were three consecutive passes in the third quarter that were low and at the receiver's feet. One to Edelman that he bobbled, and I thought he might have actually caught it. One that Gronk did catch, and one at somebody else's feet. Was that a mechanical situation where three in a row were down in the dirt?
Yeah, it was just a little... yes, it was. It was, and you know, I got that corrected. So you just get a little indecisive at times, and when I get it indecisive, my throws end up being a little bit low.
All right, so it was a combination of being indecisive, and that affects his mechanics. No,
no, that's what the guy said. It's right. Not what you said.
Never mind.
So the first question is: isn't a mechanical issue? And he says, "Yes, yes, it is."
Because he was indecisive.
Okay, so I wasn't completely wrong.
You said it was a lack of velocity.
No, I'll go pull the tape. I definitely didn't say
go
that.
Go pull the tape. It'll give you something to do.
He said mechanics.
That's what he said. Let's see. Mark and Cheddar writes in at webradio@patriots.com. He's from the UK as well. as Warren. And again, Warren, thanks for the lunch.
And the cookies.
Delicious.
Are you going to have a cookie, I hope?
You got to have
tremendous
a cookie.
Tremendous cookie. Oh, let me close it so they don't get cold, because when they're hot and warm and moist,
I think something moved with Andy. Hey, guys.
These cookies are one of my favorite desserts. When they come warm like this, and like, you don't really like them? I mean, aren't they pretty high on your...
I do like them. I love cranberry.
Mm. By the way, bring your wallets in, guys. I think Jackson is selling Otis Spunkmeyer cookie dough. You buy the dough and cook it at home, and I think that's what that is. So I'll be hitting you up one of these days. $16, I believe, it costs each.
Betting or selling cookies is illegal at Bushwood.
Why don't you take it off what you owe me?
Yeah.
Do I owe you something?
Hello, guys, and Hall of Famer. Quick question to begin with. Now that we are back into the regular season, does this mean that Eric will only be by for the last 30 minutes of each show? If they keep the same schedule that they have, yeah, it does.
He'll be by here for the last 30 minutes.
Right.
Might be by elsewhere.
And then he, you know, sticks with John Rook for the opening of the playbook. So.
Yeah. The queen.
I listened to Cold Hard Football Facts and Football Nation last week on the podcast. I was 38 minutes into the Football Nation podcast, and they took a second break. A second break. They do not know how Patriots.com radio works. The only acceptable reason to take a break is for lunch, or if you are Fred, it is acceptable to try and go for a break when you notice that Kevin or LePan are not ready to go to a break. Five breaks per show, another reason why PFW in Progress is the best show. Onto a game. I am going to extrapolate the extrapolate. Why did I think I said that wrong?
I don't know.
The stats from the first game to the rest of the season. So over under. Ridley, 2,000 yards rushing.
Under.
I don't know.
Brady, 3,776 passing yards.
Over.
Jones, 16 sacks.
Under.
Wilson, 16 interceptions.
Under.
Welker, 48 receptions.
Over.
Hernandez, 944 receiving yards.
Over.
Under.
Mayo, 208 tackles.
Under. Although, under. That's an actual feasible one.
208?
Yeah. I believe he had a 200 tackle season. Like,
did he really? Oh.
He was second most, he's close. And Ray Lewis has multiple 200 tackle seasons. I mean, when the teams do the tackle tools.
Right. Paul, 1,234 Diet Pepsis.
I'll take the over.
Today.
Well, it's Diet Coke today. But.
Let's see. And also he has a PS. After getting in contact with Andy on Twitter yesterday, has he decided to agree with me yet that Jake Beckett is the new Sean Crable?
No.
A third-round pick who is useless and done. Beckett was meant to have the more immediate impact, but probably not that good in the long run. Without the immediate impact, that just leaves us with not that good.
That's a rush to judgment. See what I did there?
No, but it was said that because he does that one thing.
That was theorized by us. We're clowns.
Right. He could have the more immediate impact.
That was a theory.
Right. But it was out there.
But
that was said by us.
Right. And
not by Bill.
Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean he can't be an impact situational rusher in week 8, week 12, next year. I mean, Sean Crable got cut in the CFL.
That said, I think there could be some truth to the email. I don't think he's going to be around long.
Really?
What are you basing that on, Paul?
Just the fact that he hasn't really gotten much chance. And I think they have a need.
Yeah, but, I mean, Jermaine Cunningham didn't play last year. And now he's a superstar that you're writing about this week.
Superstar?
Well, you're writing a whole story on him.
Christian is in Appleton, Wisconsin.
I haven't really been wowed.
Oh, I haven't been wowed less than zero. I haven't seen him do anything on the practice field or on the game field other than jag time in the fourth quarter. But I just think this quickly to say he's done, he's never going to be anything.
I didn't say he's
a
done.
Ridiculous rush to judgment by Paul Perillo and that guy on email. Mark?
Christian says, sorry about the bye comment yesterday in telling Andy not to snicker. I thought that would bring a laugh rather than a semi-serious discussion. It was my poor attempt at humor, but I'm hetero, church-going accountant named Christian, now living in suburban Midwest, so I guess comedy isn't my thing. Then again, I hadn't factored in Fred's deadpan non-delivery. I hear
he's blaming you for his comedic failure.
I hear your points regarding running.
Who's he, Eric?
I hear your points regarding running straight through the line rather than around and game planning around that. I'll be interested to see how our guys will respond against a very decent line and backer core. In my view, that may be next week against Baltimore. So we'll see. I think you can score points on Baltimore. I don't think it's the defense that it used to be. We'll see.
We will see. I had that thought coming in. I thought they were pretty good the other night. They made some plays, but I don't think they're a shutdown defense anymore. I think they're more of a playmaking defense.
No, but they really weren't last year,
no.
I didn't think.
No.
And the Patriots had a hard time scoring on them.
So we'll see. So, you know, well, we'll see.
Joe in Michigan says, hey, PFW guys, and it possibly Eric if he shows up.
He'll be by later.
It's almost the weekend, and I have a question about the game Sunday. The Patriots and Cardinals in their last 10 games are 9-1 and 8-2 respectively. Yet they are two completely different teams, with the Patriots being a Super Bowl favorite and the Cardinals, well, not. Are the Cardinals anywhere near as good as their last 10 games indicate? Is there any reason to worry about this game?
No.
I just can't convince myself that there really is. My prediction for the game is Patriots 38, Cardinals 16. Thanks, guys, and keep up the great work.
I think your prediction is plausible, and no, there is no reason to fear the Cardinals.
I agree.
Because of their offense, right?
Because of their talent overall. They're not that good.
But yes, in general, they have no offense and no quarterback, and that's a bad recipe in the NFL.
And they beat bad teams. And the Patriots aren't a bad team.
They beat the Giants. One of their wins over the Giants. They had some good teams.
They beat the Niners late in the year. They beat the Niners.
Yeah, that's a good win.
I don't know who played for San Francisco, so I don't know.
Jim and Walpole, when Mr. Kraft and Jeff Saturday shared that moment at the end of the lockout, I thought how nice it would be to get Saturday someday if he was available. With Copen cut and Connolly injured, I can only think how nice it would have been if this had occurred. Does anyone know if they considered going after him at all? There was talk, right?
I don't think so.
I don't remember that.
There was like media speculation, maybe. But
I thought he signed pretty quick, didn't
he? And he got pretty good money, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he did.
So,
but I thought he signed relatively quickly. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I'm confusing him with someone else.
Pretty good money and here don't always equate. Just ask Keyshawn.
Jonas in Durham. After your discussion last time about Wes Welker's future with the team, I have a question. What does all of this mean for Wes Welker? My instincts tell me that their fates are intertwined. While it's difficult to imagine the Patriots without Welker, I must admit that I think the team would be just fine without Welker. I know this view was not shared by the fan who has grown attached to Welker, but I'm sure...
Intentional?
Yeah, I'm sure he will fall in love with Edelman the way others have with Floyd, Ripley, and McCurdy. So that's a sarcastic email about people who mispronounce names.
Okay.
Who's
Floyd? Paul's just disgusted with the whole...
No,
do you see
Floyd?
What they do to me? Warren, you see what they do? Yeah, who's Pretty Boy Floyd?
What about it?
Who's Floyd? He said the way they have with Floyd, Ripley, and McCurdy.
I don't know.
Lloyd?
Oh. Maybe Floyd? Lloyd?
Floyd.
Okay. I was thinking Michael.
Is that his alter ego's name?
Did you hear about Floyd Mayweather?
No.
I guess he won $90,000.
Patriots. Retweeted that.
Yeah.
He had a bunch of them, though, that day.
Oh, really?
He made a number of $100,000 bets on NFL games that day. He won with the Patriots. He tweeted out the game ticket.
Wow.
But, you know.
Imagine having that kind of money.
And he keeps it with him, you know. There was a story in ESPN, the magazine. He keeps a bag. A gym bag filled with hundreds of thousands of dollars
cash money, homie.
That somebody is like, he has a whole entourage in like Ice. 50 Cent was part of the crew, and like they were flipping out because no one could find the bag that had hundreds of thousands of dollars in it. He is
straight cash, homie.
He is a weird, weird dude. Weird, but he's also the highest paid athlete in the country.
Is that right?
All the money, like he negotiates all his own deals. Nobody takes a cut of Floyd Mayweather except Floyd Mayweather.
Good for him. Craig in Brockville, Ontario. It's weird finally having a reason to want to watch the defense. Last year they made me ill, but I think Hightower has changed everything. Jones will get some sacks, but the true game changer is Hightower because he allows Spikes to play the middle and Mayo to actually make plays from the weak side. The All-SEC LB core is fun to watch. We might not be number one or even top 10 by the end of the year, but these guys pass the eyeball test.
That's well put. They passed the eyeball test.
I
don't know if they'll pass the stat test, but the eyeball test. There was one play that Hightower just blew up Chris Johnson.
It's unbelievable.
Like,
that
and
play was
a bad matchup, but there's going to be a lot of those where you're saying every Monday, that play that, you know, Spikes had, that play, just because they're just so big, fast, and physical. And that combination is just, that's kind of rare. Those three guys, to me, they're all the size, the speed, and the power.
Yep. Best front seven in football.
Now, that is absolutely asinine. That is beyond asinine. And that's not him, you know. That's Phil Sims.
Right.
That's the ridiculousness spewing from Phil Sims, who, oh, by the way, hates the Patriots.
Mully in Pennsylvania wanted to chime in and put my 2 cents in on the win against the Titans. What I really loved about the win was that most of our questions about the team were answered for now. We had concerns about the running game and how productive it would be. Obviously, Ridley showed us that he can be that lead back and churn out 10-plus yards consistently. I was also impressed with Jones and Hightower because they showed us that their production is in camp was not a fluke, and they're ready to contribute right away. Even though work needs to be done, I thought the secondary performed well and has shown a noticeable amount of improvement. In addition, I also had many doubts about Cannon and Solder. While they did have some bad plays, specifically Brady's nosebleed sack, they held up much better, especially Cannon, than I thought they would. We know we're going to get lots of points from the passing game with this team, but I think this is one of the most dynamic Patriots teams I've seen in years. While the sample size is extremely small, things look promising, and I'm excited for the season. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, did you know the 5 runs of 15 yards or more may or may not be, but they think it is, the most in a single game by a Patriots running back in 25 years?
Wow.
I think that's impressive.
I saw that you tweeted that stat from, was it ESPN?
Yeah, and then Aaron comes up and he goes, you know, they can't really confirm that. They definitely since 2000, I think, they've 100% validated it, but prior to that, there's, I guess, some confusion. I thought that was all just, shouldn't that be just computers, Fred? Like, aren't all the stats in a database, and if you're Stats Inc., or you can search it?
Yeah, you can, but you have to kind of know the criteria that you're
right.
searching.
That's X not gonna, equals runs over.
No, but I know, but you got to know to look for that. You know, it doesn't just bubble up to the top. Oh, this is.
I know, but they should be able to confirm it.
Oh, absolutely, they can confirm it. Yeah.
Well, he said they couldn't. That's why I'm asking you.
Why can't they confirm it?
I just asked you that. This circle.
Well, maybe 25
the
years.
Circle ago. No, they may not.
I'm really surprised that Curtis didn't do it.
Yeah.
Which would have been before 2000, obviously.
Right. Or anybody. I mean, I don't know. I'm not Maroney. Dylan. 1,600 yards, you would have thought might have had 5 runs over 15 yards in a game. But I'd also wonder, like, how common it is. Like, Chris Johnson, when he ran for 2,000 yards, probably had a
right.
lot of them. But just think of other backs.
But even then, I mean, I'll bet you in those games, he had, you know, the 200-yard gains. He had, like, a few 80-yard runs or, you know. So 5 for 15.
It's like we were talking about averaging 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
With a long of 17
yeah.
is much more impressive.
Right.
Yeah. Than a long of, you know.
Well, that's
7.
Why I'd like to know even more. Like
right.
league wide.
I'll bet you it isn't as common as you think. You know, 5 for 15 in a game. So.
Certainly not in a Patriots uniform. 25 years.
John
Vaughn didn't do it.
Jonathan is extension 238. Wants to put that in his email. I don't know why.
Marion Butts.
But I know you spent a lot of time on Welker's playing time last game. My thoughts are,
Cedric
why
Cobb.
Beat him up if not needed in an easy win? We'll definitely need him down the stretch run for tough games in December and for the playoffs. But is there any chance that he's not 100% ready to play his regular amount since he missed time during training camp? Could they
yes.
be working him in like they're doing for Vollmer?
Yes. All of these are yeses.
There is a possibility to that, I would think.
It's not nonsense to say that.
See, Fred, you know how it works now. You're playing
right.
along. I'm not getting that blank stare that I got before when I said that.
Nick is still in Victoria. God bless him.
Dude's got stamina.
He says, I just wanted to say thanks for the great content on the iPad app.
Ever my since wife, he said his wife died.
My wife just gave birth to our second son, Brady. And having your paper to keep me up to date while I'm up at 3 a.m. has made the second time at fatherhood a lot more bearable. I wish I had it the first time.
When so it sucked.
So keep the great content coming because I'll be up all night reading and listening.
That guy just made me think of a headline, though, like or something like the Patriots defense from making you ill to ill.
To ill, to being ill.
Yeah.
We should plug the Patriots Football Daily iPad app.
Yes.
I got great reviews from it over the weekend. People that were using the Game Center, getting the stats, watching the blog, you know, some of them in the home market listening to the 98.5 broadcast. So great reviews. It worked out really well. So
Paul and Andy on that on the pregame social?
Yeah, well, of course you are. All the radios on that app.
Making sure.
But if you have an iPad and you're a Patriots fan, you definitely want to download Patriots Football Daily. In addition to everything I just mentioned, it has all the PFW content as well. You can even download full issues and read them offline. You don't even have to be connected. You can read the full issues of all the PFWs right on your iPad. So
go buy it.
You can do that through iBooks. So it's a good app. People are really, really excited about it.
Go buy it. And if you have a subscription to Patriots Football Weekly, you already
have it. I don't hear from Jonathan Kraft a lot. And when I do, it's usually not good. But he did say, wow, this is a really good app. We really need to promote this more. So
yes, we do.
Yeah.
The paper is good, too. Paul and Andy are good, too.
Do me a favor and save me from myself right now.
But that's good. I agree.
So Patriots Football Daily, if you have an iPad. And someday when Android can figure out what the best tablet is, we'll make it for that tablet as well.
The ice cream sandwich?
Well, I don't know. You got the Kindle Fire. You've got the
Nook.
Well, the Nook
the
is
Galaxy.
Now, I'm not counting the Nook. But then you have the new Google one.
What about the
I think it's
Samsung
called the Nexus
one?
Or something like that.
Yeah. Nexus, yeah.
Yeah. And the Galaxy Tab is another one, but you know, it's tough.
I hear you, bro.
Yeah. Apple's so much easier to develop for.
Till they come out with the iPad.
Now I know that somebody's going to email me and tell me, "Oh, all you have to do is this, and then it works on all the Android
devices.
Tablets." But that's not necessarily true when it comes to the ads and all that. It's very complicated.
I just really didn't understand it.
So
according to Ralph Wilson,
anyway, I don't know who I'm arguing with.
I don't either. We just let you go when you're on one of your little technology rants.
Dan writes in, have you ever, in all your years covering this league, had a backup QB highlighted as a player to watch in those short game previews? He's talking about Tebow. The faces of Tebow. Really? I fear for the integrity of sports media, but more importantly, I'm in a crisis of loyalty. I want the Jets to fail, but I need Sanchez to succeed. Not just playing well, but so good that they can't justify taking him off the field for the fraud. For a single play. Yes, a lot of it is the media's doing, but he sure isn't doing much to stop it. So he just wins. When he's got talent around him and the defense doesn't over the deep ball, that doesn't make him a quarterback. My back has finally been broken on this player, and for the first time since LT, I'm rooting for a player to fail for reasons other than laundry. Oh, and fix the stream. I don't know if there's a problem with the stream.
Oh, and I can't hear you.
Did either of you watch the show last night?
No.
No. The faces
you did?
Of Tebow?
I did.
Ugh.
I did.
Ugh. Did you vomit?
No. I will maintain that.
Were you a better person for having seen it?
No. Unlike you, I have maintained that I do not really have a huge problem with Tim Tebow, the person.
You're an idiot.
I don't think he can play quarterback, and I am as steadfast in that belief today as I was.
Saw the quote from Steve Young that he could be
Steve
great.
Steve Young, yeah. How they did it was they broke it down, and he's right. It was kind of nauseating the way they set it up.
No, something about Tim Tebow that's nauseating.
The faces of Tebow, and it sort of looked at, it was Joe Namath talking about sort of, mechanics and his, running and some of that stuff. I forget who was the second one now.
By the way, is Joe Namath about shrinking? He seems really small.
Well, he's old.
That happens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Grammy Hart lost like 6 inches.
Oh, yeah?
And then they kind of went to the spiritual side, and they went with Roger Staubach, who was very spiritual when he played. And then they went to Cordell Stewart. Oh, Flutie was the second one, which was the most nauseating part in all of it, because Flutie used it as a platform. You make fun of Tebow for the platform. Flutie used it as a platform to criticize the NFL all over again for never just, handing them the keys. Not only he was supposed to be the starting quarterback, but he needed to be the owner and the GM for 12 years in the same city, and just wished he had ties. It was nauseating. Anyway, rant over.
Tell us what you really think.
He doesn't hate Tebow, but I think he hates Flutie.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stand Flutie. Then you went to Cordell Stewart, who, they went to the slash angle and all the different things that he did.
Is Tebow okay with Cordell Stewart?
He's just, it's always on his mind.
Well, it's a good question, actually.
And then it finished with Steve Young.
Is he okay
and
with Steve Young?
Steve Young.
A Mormon? Mormons? Christians?
As a backup, and then he left and, sort of needed to learn to be a pocket passer, with San Francisco. That's kind of the way they broke it all up and all the different ways. And then they had those guys commenting on Tebow and whether or not he could do it. And
they all said yes, right?
No.
Who said no?
No, they just the only
all
one.
All I read was the Steve Young. He could be great.
Steve Young is the only one who definitively said this guy has everything you need. He could be great.
Because Doug Flutie could throw a football 8 billion times better than Tim Tebow.
And yet not well enough to be every down,
regardless
every
NFL of quarterback. That, they're not even in the same league, the ability to throw the football, Doug Flutie and Tim Tebow, in my opinion.
It was sort of disappointing because I thought it spent too much time on those other guys during the course of the
sounds
day.
Like I should have watched it.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't bad. I don't hate Tebow like Andy does. I just don't think he can play quarterback. I think he might have a role somewhere as a niche player.
I'm going to take my shirt off and jog through the
But like Cordell Stewart in Namath, I think, said something about, you know, you got to cut back on the weights. You know, he's just so big.
Yeah,
you know?
He's a big guy.
He's huge.
I saw a tweet today, and I think it was from Pro Football Talk, made me laugh. Columnist, : Tebow could ask for trade if he doesn't play much this year. It's like, okay, so a columnist speculates that, and that becomes a headline?
Well, for Pro Football Talk. They'll put anything up. They'll tweet anything.
But that's one of those things.
Terry Bradshaw dead or not.
That's like one of those things we were saying yesterday, though. When we were teasing Fred, and you know, if Brandon Lloyd, if this is all that happens all year, then that's nothing to worry about. Columnist, if Tebow doesn't play all year, he could seek a trade. Why are we talking about something 5 months from now without knowing what happened in those five months?
But it's also like, yeah, okay, he could, but do you have any evidence he will? I mean,
that's why you have
the story.
And I hate Tebow as much as anyone, but the evidence would be he'd be the last guy to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
To, you know, create this controversy.
Unlike Flutie, who did nothing but bitch the whole time he was never getting that opportunity.
Well,
Tebow has been the
opposite. College.
Maybe he got – Fred.
I think Andy and Paul should do a show on Flutie and Tebow, just
maybe,
us ripping the two.
Maybe Flutie did get screwed. But the similarity – the reason why he was the guy was because no matter how much success Flutie had, the teams that he was on always were never willing to say he's the man. And that's what Tebow did last year. He wins these games, and John Elway was still unwilling to say that they're any closer to having a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
But you didn't hear Tebow lamenting against the entire establishment the way Flutie spent
the last
25 years doing.
That's true. He's a good
He's still
good
doing
man.
It.
Dan in Virginia, thanks
Bad
again
guy.
For another...
What? What's Tebow going to say?
Bad guy.
The establishment wants me to get first downs and keep the team on the field and not punt every
well,
time.
He does.
I'm not a conventional quarterback who scores points and moves the chains.
I mean, he has kind of made a career out of...
Sucking.
Being the guy that, you know, says... No one thought I could do it. He's made commercials about it.
Right.
You know.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Tebow.
Oh, okay.
Dan in Virginia, thanks again for another great show and for the nice, clear answer to my carpenter query. As an Aussie living in the States, I still occasionally miss the finer details of the game. I was going to ask whether or not the Arizona matchup could potentially be a trap game, especially for the rookies since they had such a big game.
Yes.
But Eric's report on Bill's collateral damage at the press conference obviates the need for that. So I'll ask in terms of running backs whether
Well
Bill...
done right there. I see what you did.
Yeah.
Use the word obviates while talking about Eric. I like that.
Wait, I do think this could be a little bit of a trap game, though. Even though I don't think it's going to happen.
And I think...
You know that a question we have?
Sure.
You know, looking ahead to Baltimore,
yeah.
Coming off a very impressive opener in which the rookies might be feeling... And no matter what Bill says, you can't always guard against overconfidence or whatever.
Can't.
So this has
Human
the
nature.
Makings of a trap game.
And those
I don't
guys...
think it'll happen.
Those guys very easily could be walking around feeling really good about themselves right now.
Yep.
The Chandler Joneses and Dante Hightowers of the world.
Does it help that Arizona also won the week before?
I don't really think so.
No?
I don't think a trap game has a hell of a lot to do with the trapper. It's the trappee.
I'll ask in terms of running backs whether Bill will go for the hot hand and let Ridley carry the majority, or will he work in Vereen to change things up, making the fantasy football world go apoplectic in the process.
Extrapolate?
No problem.
I'm having trouble.
Hey, that is not appropriate.
Sure it is.
I said it inappropriately, you, and you just
voiced
it.
Vereen was back in practice yesterday.
Yes.
So do you think he has a role in the game?
Junior? I have no idea.
We'll see if he's active in the game first. Then we'll see if he has a role.
I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him take away the Danny Woodhead plays. That's what I'd like to see.
That's what I think.
Well, that's
you're
what
see.
We expected. We that's expected this to be a 1-2 punch.
Well, not you, because you think Danny Woodhead's great.
Why do you get mad at that?
Well, because it's like
that's not you know to continue my theme. That's not nonsense. What he just said.
But was I not also agreeing that Vereen?
No, you were scared to death of these two young running backs as recently as a week ago.
I understand that. But
correct, Paul.
We.
No, him.
Oh, okay.
But
I
agree with the consensus that the future looked like it would be Ridley and Vereen.
Well, that's not the consensus.
It isn't?
No, Greg Bedard thinks Vereen's going to get cut. He was a year early. He thought he might get cut this year, and now he says he was a year early. He's going to get cut next year. So not consensus that...
Well...
Some people believe he's an injury-prone guy who's never going to be anything for this team.
I think most people looked at, you know, when they drafted these guys, that's what they were planning.
Well, a lot's happened since they were drafted.
I'm just saying, that's what the plan is.
Was.
That still is.
Maybe.
They've given up on Vereen.
I don't know that. Okay. Greg Bedard thinks they pretty much have.
Okay. And so his word is, you know, what you go
he's
by
he's the beat
now?
Writer or the on-football writer, the most connected writer in this city
is
from
he?
The biggest paper.
Is he really?
That's what he seems like.
Is he the most connected writer?
I don't know. He could be.
Is he's he or of, not? You just made that statement.
He could be.
Is he or not?
He could be.
I could be, too.
No. It's a two-horse race for me.
No, you couldn't be.
It's Ron Borges and Greg Bedard. They both...
What about Mike Reese?
It's Ron Borges and Greg Bedard. I think they have more national contacts.
I mean, national contacts. What does that have to do with covering this team?
Well, when I said most connected.
I thought you meant connected to this
connected
team.
One,
no.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Connected.
When I mean connected, I mean scouts everywhere around the league giving him opinions,
yeah, but
scuttlebutts.
That's not going to help him with this situation.
What situation?
He needs to be connected here to know what they want
no
to do.
No one's connected
Green.
Here.
Okay.
Even people
that's
that think
true.
They're connected here are not connected
so,
here.
So, in other words, don't take his word for it.
Well, yeah.
He's not
I don't
connected.
Take anybody's word for anything.
Whose word?
Bedard. If he says he's about to be cut, I wouldn't
he
take his
word. He didn't say that.
Yeah, he kind of did, actually.
He said,
said he was a year too early.
He thinks in training camp, though, he thought he had a chance to get cut. But he didn't say, like, to me,
oh,
he's
no,
about
no,
to
no,
get
no,
cut.
No, 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 no. Now he's made the team. Now he says he's going to possibly get cut next year. It was a year too early with his speculation.
Oh, okay.
But if that is true, if there's any truth to that, then they're not necessarily planning on making him a huge part of the offense right now.
How big is an if is that? If there's any truth to that. How
a
big
huge
is,
if.
Right. Okay.
Because I think the plan
think
still is.
That's my point.
If he can stay, another huge if is if he can stay on the field.
Well,
that's a bigger if.
And that's why I had my worries.
About Ridley, too.
And Ridley. Yeah, sure.
Do you still have worries about Ridley?
No.
You should.
Why?
I mean, what's he proven? He had one good game. What if he fumbles 3 times this week? Then you couldn't have concerns?
Well, then I'm concerned about everybody because, you know.
I'm not concerned about Tom Brady.
I'm not either. And I'm
not
concerned,
not concerned about
Rob
Gronkowski.
Are you concerned about
Aaron
Jones?
No.
You're not.
he was already mouthing his next statement, and I sucker punched him.
You're not?
No.
No, what am I concerned?
It's only one game.
He's ahead of where I expected him to be based on his potential.
Why were you concerned about Ridley before the game?
Health.
Okay. I don't have any of those concerns about Chandler Jones. He hasn't battled injuries in my
well,
opinion.
No, but do you have
Ridley
other
has.
Do you have other concerns about Chandler Jones?
No.
Okay.
we'll find out over the next couple
he
of
really
weeks.
He really wants us to have concerns about
no,
the top pick.
But don't mistake that for me putting him in the Hall of Fame to steal Bill's rant
no.
from yesterday. But I haven't seen anything about Chandler Jones yet that I don't like.
Okay.
So I don't have any concerns.
So,
Ridley, there's a couple of things that have me concerned.
So then was warranted in that concern. You're saying that it was
you,
okay.
But you were concerned because you didn't know if he was going to be able to hold up health-wise.
Right.
They
should not have been alleviated because he played great one game.
Your individual concern about Ridley was warranted. Carrying that over to an overall concern with the offense was not warranted.
Well, I still, you know, we'll see when they have to pass a lot if, you know.
If their 5 all-pros can get it done.
If
they can't,
no,
we are screwed.
No, if Vollmer and Solder and these guys can hold up in protection.
But I don't.
That's
but
the
what
problem.
But what I don't get is the things that we've seen consistently excel over the last 3, 4, 5 years, you have concerns
but
with.
But some of those
Stephen
things aren't
Ridley
the same.
Ran for 125 yards on Sunday for the first time in his career, and you've alleviated that as a concern.
Some of those,
I don't understand
some
that.
Some of those things we've seen in the past are not the same.
What isn't the same,
the running,
Fred?
The offensive
it's better.
Line. The offensive line.
the line is what it is. They always protect Brady well enough. I mean, this is not a markedly inferior offensive line. in terms of each player. Matt Light for Nate Solder is a work in progress, obviously. But the other guys that are out there, I mean, there's a huge difference between Ryan Wendell and Dan Copen right now from last year.
Right now, they could both not be good. I mean, they got rid of Copen.
So that's what you had to open last season for. This is my point.
Right, and you signed him to a three-year, $9 million extension or whatever. You think Conley can play.
Right, but...
You being them, not you.
But I'm also worried about Vollmer, if he can hold up. And if he doesn't hold up, I'm worried about Cannon.
But he didn't play last year. So worrying about him not holding up this year is an upgrade. He's playing. We're hoping that he can continue to do so.
We're hoping. Absolutely.
But he didn't play last year, is my point.
So there's no reason...
He only played six games.
So there's no reason to be concerned about the offensive line.
I didn't say that. I'm saying I would be far less worried about the offensive line in the passing game than I would Stephen Ridley being able to duplicate what he did on Sunday. Well, you have seemingly... That was it. You proved it to you.
I don't think
that's over.
I don't think he's going to duplicate what he did.
But you said
Sunday
that you don't have
week.
Any. You said to Andy you had concerns about Ridley going into the game. I don't have him anymore.
My concerns are alleviated. I wasn't even. I didn't even know he was going to play up until that week because he was dinged up. Ridley. You know,
he was practicing every day, and you didn't know if he was going to play.
Up until that week, Paul.
What did he miss? Did I miss the time that Ridley missed?
He didn't play in the last game.
Nobody played in the last game. If you were a starter, you didn't play except your name.
That was the sign that he was going to be the lead back.
And he was dinged up before that, right? Was he or was he?
He had a sore knee.
Not that he missed any significant action.
He had a sore knee.
You had no idea, Paul.
He played the next game, Fred. That's my idea. He played again.
We were worried for one day or 2 days on the practice field when he sat on the ice cooler, and then the next day he wore that stupid hat. Curled up,
and he played.
And then after
Tampa
that,
Bay.
He played. And at that point, we all said, "I guess that wasn't a serious knee injury."
Yeah. Well,
so it was like a two-day span that you were.
I don't
worried.
Think he would have been getting carries in a preseason game if they were worried.
Well, I was worried,
and now you're not.
You know, I'm not as
now
worried.
He's a Hall of Famer.
I'm not as worried.
Hey.
Oh, but that's not what you said. You said you're not worried anymore about that.
I'm still worried about durability. Absolutely, for both of those guys.
And I think you're right to be worried about it. Going forward, I'm just saying, you said that you weren't.
You did say you weren't.
Now I agree with you, because you're saying that you still want to see him continue to do it. Now I'm with you.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about production. I think he's going to be a good back. I thought he was
show up every week, hold on to the ball every week,
I've always thought,
be available every week. I know what you're saying.
Since last year, I thought this guy can be the guy.
Because he was every time he was out there.
Right, right. Yeah. So we've seen that. But the problem was durability.
And
I think it still is. You know, in fumbling.
I heard somebody posing the idea, like, had he never fumbled, might have been on Felger and Mass, would they have won the Super Bowl? Because he would have been now established.
I think someone wrote
end.
In yesterday to our show. I think.
Because, I think that's an interesting
because
thought.
Because they would have more confidence.
Because he got benched.
More
he got flat out
and
inactive
he was
clearly
benched. Coming on.
Yeah.
Down could they have won the Super Bowl? Could they have had that running presence that would have altered that game enough?
It could have.
That's strange.
You never know.
That is so strange.
Little thing like that. And it's not even fair, though. The last
time he
fumbled, he got, I mean,
do you put it on the coach?
What?
If that's true, do you put it on the coach?
Well, no. I mean, as a coach, you can't go in there in a game like that with a guy that you just don't trust yet. You just can't do that.
And he did trust Benny.
Right.
Yeah. I think that.
I wouldn't, but.
I think it may have been a call. I heard the same thing that Andy did. I can't remember where it was.
It's an interesting topic.
I don't believe it. I don't think that if Ridley were playing, they would have won.
You know, they bring that NASCAR defense on the field, and he shoots them for a couple 17-yard gains, and oh, it's all different.
I think it's a very interesting thing.
Touchdown, Patriots. You don't miss Gronkowski. You win the Super Bowl.
I think it's a very interesting thing to ponder.
Now you got four rings. He's the MVP. You got a returning running back MVP.
Now he's the MVP.
Well, I had Woodhead at halftime of the Super Bowl.
Now he's the MVP.
Now I'm running Woodhead off the team.
Well, no, but think about that. Where Woodhead, you know, when things weren't available, Woodhead kind of made some plays in the Super Bowl. Imagine if those same plays were Ridley.
Now would he have had those opportunities?
Now a 10-yard gain would have been maybe a 20-yard gain,
well,
you know?
Maybe.
No, because he didn't do anything running the ball.
No, no, but he caught some swing passes and got
open.
He
caught a touchdown pass that he made a really good adjustment to help Brady out at the end of the first half. And then he had, I think, a screen that he got a first down on.
Yeah. Fred, they stole our shtick. Stephen A. Smith and what's his name are fighting. And I think Fourier's in the middle.
That's you guys.
Son of a bitch.
That's us.
This is on ESPN.
People steal from us like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah. No one's ever done the debate yet before.
Not with Christian Fourier as the judge.
The mediator.
I'm pretty sure we were the first one that had Christian Fourier as the mediator.
Well, we made him
what
he
is. And he's making faces like he's judging them. Yeah. I can't hear the audio, but you got to be.
So is that all he's good for now is judging debates?
Well, he also does the post-game show.
Wouldn't you just punch out Skip Bayless if you were debating him?
I'd punch out both of them. I hate both of them.
Oh, I like Stephen A.
Smith. I hate Stephen A. Smith.
I don't always agree
with
him.
I've hated him from day one.
I don't always agree with his takes, but I like him.
He tries
to make himself too much part.
No, he makes everything emphatic.
It's way too dramatic.
Well, I don't mind that.
Oh, I hate it. I mean, that touchback was the greatest touchback in the history of the game.
I like passion.
What are you talking about?
I like
it was a
passion.
Stupid touchback, Stephen A. Smith, and drop the A.
I like the passion. Passion's good. That's what you want. You want somebody out there that, you know.
I don't hate him.
I hate him.
Skip Bayless,
I'd like
I think,
to see
is a clown.
Chandler Jones hit him.
Yeah, can I change that one?
All right.
Take Skip Bayless out.
To Eric.
I can't believe you didn't say Tim Tebow. You didn't consider him a quarterback.
Right. Plus, the damage wouldn't be as good because he's, you know, big fullback.
He's bigger than the guy who's hitting him.
Right. Chandler Jones might get hurt.
Ken and Canton, a clue to know if Welker is going to be a bigger part of the offense in any particular week could be whether he's in motion for many of his snaps. Being in motion really helps Welker get off the line of scrimmage is an important aspect to his game. He's not nearly as effective getting off the line of scrimmage from a static stance. Motion helps Hernandez as well, but being much bigger, it's not as big a help as it would be for Welker. I think this week the guy you see in motion more often is the guy Josh is looking to be more of the focus on the offense. Check who is the receiver going in motion. If it's Welker, look for him to be more of a target. If it's Hernandez like last week, it could be a similar situation with just 5 to 7 looks. It will be interesting to see if it works out that way.
I've heard that theory
but
posed.
Gronkowski went in motion a lot too, and it's because Brady told him which side to, you know, because of protection.
But is the Patriots offense
blocking
really that simple that the motion man is the receiver on every play?
Yeah.
I don't buy it. My memory may fail me because it does often, but I don't remember every catch that Welker's ever had coming out of motion.
No. Well.
Who started this? Because somebody must have started it. I've heard it enough that somebody must have
been on
it.
A lot. I haven't really heard
it. Yeah,
that
it's
a
been
lot.
Out there. So somebody,
really?
Either Reese or Bedard or one of these well-connected guys must have written it and then.
Well-connected. I see what you did there.
All their people.
Micah in Idaho. I have a bit of a complaint.
Send us to the complaint department then.
While I love all of the games.
Just so you know, tread lightly around Andy right now. He's on the edge.
I am a little bit on the edge, and that bothered me, that motion thing. I want to know where that came from.
Who wrote it?
Who got people saying, oh, it's motion. If he's not in motion, he's never going to play. He's never going to catch anything.
That's not, you know. While I love all the games that people send in that you just love to play them, but something is missing. Accountability.
It's true. We play how many of those? Like thousands of them. Right.
You mean we should keep track of them?
No, the people. Mark should. He sends in half the games. Mark should keep a running.
Mark from Cheddar.
Yeah. Say cheese.
I think it would be great if you had some intern track your responses over
Kevin!
The season and see who has the best record in calling over-unders on stats. Imagine the bragging rights the winner would have.
Yeah.
On to my question.
Only if Andy wins.
Is Mika or Micah a girl or a boy?
I have no idea.
Micah.
He or she is from Idaho.
It's a girl, then. She's
On my question, we all love Welker, but with all of the weapons that the Patriots have this year, could some Jag fill in for Welker in the slot without our offense suffering? Paul says yes.
Paul thinks Welker could play, and there'd be some Jag in the slot catching passes.
I just want
to know. Well, someday you're going to be right on that argument.
No, I'm actually.
When he's 42 and can't run anymore.
To the contrary, you guys are making me come full circle on the whole thing. I just don't know what they've added in terms of weapons from what they had last year, the last game that they played. They've subtracted Branch and added Lloyd.
But I think Lloyd.
I know Lloyd is better. I'm not suggesting.
No, but he's different. But he's also different.
I think he's more different than he is more better.
Yeah.
See what I did?
I think he's different.
But that shouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't see why it takes.
Because it's an aspect of your offense you didn't have. It's outside receiver.
I don't know why it makes Welker any more irrelevant. I don't.
Oh, I didn't say it did.
I didn't say that either.
But I jumped ship on that. I didn't know we were arguing that.
That's what the emailer is saying.
No.
You know,
I don't agree with the emailer.
I don't either.
But I do think Lloyd is not just a one-to-one replacement. I think he adds an element to the offense, as Andy said, that they didn't have.
I think he, well, we'll see.
Yeah, that's absolutely one of my concerns.
It's not a concern for me because with or without him, you can score 550 points.
Wow. Once it, you know when these become concerns? When Hernandez and Gronkowski are both hurt.
Right.
Then you go, anyway, we never have that many people make plays.
Robert writes in, the iPad app, Patriots Football Daily, is great.
Yes.
Makes the game so enjoyable. Here in Vegas, we're always not getting every game, and I'm sure we won't get the Arizona game. Thank God for PFW and the Red Zone. So there you go.
Glad you're happy. Tell a friend.
Yeah. Patriots Football Daily. It's what our futures rely on.
Can you hold it down in there? What's going on over there?
I don't know. He's doing a lot of audio stuff.
Yeah, but why do we have to hear it?
That's my point.
He's getting ready for the game. Let's see. Who is this? Oh, Hamza in Toronto.
We should have a program, Fred. What happened to our T-shirts? And if you, like, recommend a person or
right,
suggest
a
friend.
We never,
The ball is in your court.
Whoa, you may have had
a heart attack, but the ball is in your court.
My last email was asking for input from you guys, and no one ever responded. You guys just dropped the ball.
What input?
Because I said that.
You said, quote, I want to change the text on this. That was how you phrased it.
No, that's not how I phrased it.
And I thought that meant, I'm Fred, and I want to change the text on this, so I'll go to Maura and change the text on this.
We need to get the back text a little bit more informational, because there's no...
Okay, so let's do it. What do you want on there?
You know, something explaining what these things are, you know, like a quick line or something.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
The T-shirt has to look good, but it also has to function well. It has to...
I agree.
Feel good.
You know, give information.
Like a woman. She's got to look good. She's also got to feel good.
Hamza says, bags of sand.
I was just afraid that we were going to have to wear it to work every day.
Oh.
No, this is a weekend. Weekend apparel.
Yeah, you'll wear this on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
No, but then I thought, you know, refer a friend. If you get somebody to download the app or something,
we'll
give
them
a T-shirt.
Oh, figure out ways to give out the T-shirt, sure.
Give them to players.
Warren, you'd like a T-shirt, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Of course he would.
They don't exist, so don't think you're getting one. Because Fred dropped the ball a month ago.
So don't think you're getting one.
Well, I want to lower the expectations there. They don't exist because Fred said he wanted to change it and never changed it.
Let's see. It's because I have other things to do besides making fun of Carol Hardy.
Good, Fred.
Hamza says, I see Fred's having a stellar day with reading and pronunciation.
Why did I think I mispronounced
that? Just kidding, Fred. Don't change. Andy, every single time you say Eric will be by later, it never fails to crack me up. I think it's the enthusiasm you say it with. Someone else says, hey, everyone, where's Eric? And Andy gleefully responds, don't worry, he'll be by later. It gets me every time.
Just happy I can help.
So I have a football theory. Bear with me. I read on the internets that Brady was in shotgun.
Does it really have an S?
Yes.
13 times.
I read on the internets that Brady was in shotgun on only about a dozen snaps last week. I think the Patriots going with heavier sets so much here early is essentially to develop an entirely new offense that they can interchange with the shotgun empty sets we're used to seeing. I think what we've learned is that the spread offense can beat almost every defense in the league, but there is a specific type of defense that can stop it, namely a press man defense with an elite defensive line that can pressure without blitzing. I think Tom, Josh, and Bill have decided to have a trump card ready when they face teams like those, especially this year when the offensive line is suspect. The offense we saw this Sunday could conceivably have more success against the Giants and the Ravens than the spread. When we ran the spread against those teams, they stayed in sub-defenses, and we just couldn't block the front four. Now with heavier sets, maybe we can keep them in their base defense and keep the pass rushers either off the field or at bay using the play action. I you know, there's some validity to that. It's not nonsense. I mean, that's what we talked about, trying to keep teams in their base defense.
Yes, we've talked about that a lot, and I think there's certainly something to it.
Yeah, the only thing that I don't know the answer to, and you won't until you play all those teams, you know, if you see the Giants again or whoever, can they stop your running game, you know, without having to go to base defense?
Right.
Right.
Then what?
Right.
Was rhetorical. You didn't have to answer.
No, right.
Because a lot of people,
go back to your spread shotgun offense and hope you can sling it.
I want to look, the premise is that those teams can handle your spread offense.
Good teams are going to be able to handle stuff.
Well, that's kind of
bad teams won't be able to handle anything.
Well put. That's kind of my point.
But if you add an option to your tricks, if you have something else to try, whereas recently, did they have anything else to try? No.
And that's the point I tried to make yesterday was, it's always good to have more than one way to win a game.
Yes. Now they might have three. Pass, run, stop. Stop is
to me, the most important one is stop.
The defense.
Yeah. And I don't even think it's stop as much as make a play. Pass, run, and make a play on defense.
Get in the way.
Yeah. Not be ugly. Not be making people ill. Instead, just be ill.
Silvio, you have to say it like that. Be ill.
Yeah. That's how John Rook would say it if it were light pumpkin cream cheese.
Silvio is a big-time Patriots fan in San Diego. He says, enjoy listening to you guys. I've been listening for years. Where you been? I'm a big Patriots fan. I've heard you
San
guys.
San Diego, didn't he say?
He just said he was listening for years, didn't he?
Yeah, but why hasn't he called or
not everybody. I would never, ever email or call a show.
No.
Less than 1% of our listeners.
Ever. Would you?
Have
you ever?
A long time ago, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember what?
I called into a radio show once.
Sports?
Yeah.
Or politics?
Sports.
Have you ever considered politics to defend your boy?
I don't listen to those shows.
Oh.
I really don't.
Maybe you'd be more informed if you did.
I never called a radio show.
I've never, ever even thought once that I would pick up the phone and call or email. Ever. Yeah. It's not in me.
You're right. The sliver of the audience.
I know it's in you.
I think about it now, but only because
There's no doubt in my mind. When you are old and your kids are gone and wife has gotten rid of you,
you will
be sitting at home calling sports talk radio.
No.
Yes.
First of all,
then you'll call your brother and say, did you hear me? Did you hear me talking about him? See what I said there?
No.
Yeah, that was
first
good,
of all, I don't really appreciate the wishing me to be alone and.
No, I don't mean your wife will have left you. I just mean, like, she'll be in the other. You know, when old people, they start to get old, they have different beds, they have different, like, they really go their separate ways. You're going to have that.
No, I'm not.
You might.
I'm not going. I'm locking her in the. I'm locking her in the house. Then
this
I'm not
is
letting
a two-way decision, Paul. It's not just your decision.
I'm not letting her leave.
When she sees her 4,000th Northeastern basketball game, she's moving on.
I don't make her go to those games with me.
All the grandkids will be like, "Grandpa's yelling again. How he's talking to that radio station." And by the time Paul's like a grandfather, it'll be like 3D. So he'll be like one of those holograms at the station, like a little guy, like, you know, waving.
No.
And his boxers.
I only think about it now because I know the people that are on the shows and I want to call and, you know, when Felger says something, I want to call him out.
Right.
Like,
why we love you, Paul.
It never came to my. It never even dawned on me, like, the whole time before I was. Like,
you will call. You live long enough, you will call.
No comment ever goes unanswered when Paul's around.
Might be under his breath.
You know what's kind of funny?
Yeah.
First time, they did the show yesterday when I was on with them, and they were at Fenway Park. They were in their Ace Ticket studios.
Hey.
It's kind of weird.
Ace Ticket is one of us, too.
Yeah. So why do I have to
say hey, hey, hey? In the Ace Ticket studios, like it was all.
It's very Jerry Callahan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're one of us.
So it's, you know, a big glass wall, and it is kind of weird, you know, watching people sort of they go by, they wave, they tap
you
it
wave
on the glass
back?
And stuff. No, I just kind of
smile. Did you gesture, show your?
No, I was talking.
That's
you,
what I would have done
you
to
would
women.
Know, I was always talking.
He
so
went
I
on and put the Yankee. He put a Yankees hat on.
You did?
Yeah, because I love the Yankees.
Were you on TV?
Yeah.
Eric's here. We'll let him get settled.
They have cameras in the Ace Ticket studio.
Yes,
and
see, that's well. That very well done.
He'll give us a practice report and conferences today?
Oh, no, that doesn't work.
No.
No press conferences today? Silvio says, we haven't got to his question yet. Anyway, he says, I've heard you guys say that the long pass that fell incomplete to Lloyd in the Titans game was mostly Brady's fault. Yet in the Super Bowl, I mostly heard that it was Wes Welker's fault for not catching the long pass late in the Super Bowl against the Giants.
Not for much, he didn't.
Yeah, for much, it was all Brady all the time. Flies on 12.
Don't you think the two passes were similar? If so, how come one is?
Yes.
No, I don't think they were similar at all.
I do. Andy and I do. You don't. You think it was all on Lloyd because you don't like Lloyd.
I love Lloyd.
No, you're worried about him.
I love Lloyd?
Yeah, I'm worried, but
worried
I
love
Lloyd
for.
I love what he hopefully can bring to this team.
Lloyd!
I don't know him.
Only took 8 months.
I don't know him as a person, but for what he can bring to this team, I love that. I love that aspect.
Why don't you love that about Shane Vereen and Steven Ritt? Like, your confidence level in certain
very
potential.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
But Andy and I think, am I speaking for you? I think we think of those throws in a similar fashion.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it was, like the Super Bowl, very much catchable because it hit his hands.
Right.
But Brady eliminated it from being the big play and being easy and hitting it in stride and all that.
Word.
Fred stopped listening.
Okay.
Hi, Freddie.
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
Not bad.
What's going on outside?
Patriots are doing well, too.
Really?
Perfect attendance today.
Woo!
Okay. Dan Connolly is back from his head injury.
Nice.
That forced him to miss yesterday.
Great.
Did he have a helmet on and everything?
Full pads.
Good to go.
The whole thing.
Good, good, good.
The whole shebang. So really, not a whole lot to tell you guys.
Okay, good. Thanks for telling us.
Right.
I mean, that's the best news of all. If there's
anyone stand out in the stretching, anyone stretch really well or have a tough time.
Did you see Jeff Howe yesterday getting snippy with people on Twitter? Like people were asking,
how
does Salas look?
Yes.
He replies in stretching or jogging. Like he was giving tone to a lot of people. I appreciated it.
Yeah. He is a guy though that's worth talking about though because he's
Jeff
suited.
Howe?
No, oh. Greg Salas.
Oh, okay.
Because of the new guys, he was the only one who suited up against Tennessee and did not play. And at a position where they only have a handful, literally, of wide receivers, it was, notable because even...
Well, if Welker couldn't get on the field, I don't see
any reason that Salas needed to play if Welker can't.
No, right? I'm just saying it's noteworthy that of all the new guys, he's the only one that suited up and did not play. You even had the third tight end who was just signed last week, and he got on the field.
Oh, Manawa Nui.
That's right.
Oh, Manawa Nui.
He can say that, but not McCourty.
Or extrapolate.
McCurdy.
Apoplectic.
Apoplectic.
Oh, that one was a tough one.
So that's it? That's all you got.
Anything
to
report? Anything of note? Any rock stars out there?
No. It's
women?
Nope. Well, I mean,
music?
Women in the media, but no.
Jackie UK.
She was there, yep.
Was she looking okay?
More than okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, settle
hey
down.
Now. Hey now.
She could be your daughter.
No, she couldn't.
What do the boys across the pond think of Jackie UK?
She could be your daughter.
Well,
do a little math.
About it, yeah, she what? Could.
Well, not technically true. She could be your daughter because you've never actually had sex. But he goes right. Why would you ever give me that? Like when you know I'm going down a road like that. I guess you could
have to do picks.
Eric's about to leave. Oh, that's right.
He just got here.
Gotta hurry.
But nothing of any interest out there?
Honestly,
I purposely ended
really,
the picks
I mean,
at about 10
Everybody
past
was
last
there.
Week,
they were in full pads. That we saw one set of drills. It was, special teams kickoff returns in front of us. Devin McCourty's still back there. Just like the game on Sunday.
Who else
no
is
different
with
than
Matthew
that.
Slater? Who's next in line? Anybody else?
He was the only one we saw.
Oh, now
in the drill.
You.
Okay. Quick one from Juve. He says, 3/4 of your show is email-driven. Now you're saying you would never email a radio show?
Yeah.
Seriously, can you explain?
I would never listen to a show like this.
Why?
I don't know. I just wouldn't.
You would.
I don't think I would.
No?
No.
I probably wouldn't know about it, but if I had known that something like this existed, I would definitely listen
to it. If it was a Northeastern show?
Absolutely. Oh, definitely would. You are.
I just said I
That's
would.
That's a show he would call.
Certainly.
Oh, yeah.
But I just said I would. Well, I mean, you guys are like calling me
he'd
out.
He'd be like Jeff in Vegas on the pregame every day. He'd be like, we go to Paul who wants to talk about
like,
the bounce passes today.
Hello, guys.
Fred, if I didn't come to work here with you, I probably wouldn't know that this show existed because, as we alluded to with our app.
No one promotes anything.
No one realizes, quote, until afterwards how good it is. Mm.
Good numbers coming too, by the way.
You think so?
So much for me keeping myself out of trouble.
Oh. Good numbers. Not great. Not our best ever, but as we build into a new season, not too bad.
Okay.
Feeling good.
But I probably, if I had known about this show, and if you did it in like 1997,
right.
I'd listen to this show.
Sure, why not?
I would.
Much you better talk.
You don't like sports.
This is
that's
a much
thing.
Better show.
I love sports.
This is a much
you're
better
just
show
doing
about
this
the
because
Patriots.
It's a job.
Yeah. No.
You're not a sports fan.
That's the difference.
No, that's
for me.
The difference. I'm a sports fan. I don't love sports talk.
Exactly.
I don't want to argue all the time.
And I'm a chronic, and Andy's not. He's right. That's
and
the
And I didn't grow up with a brother that I argued with every single day
right.
about
Andy's,
every single
Andy's
topic.
Andy's right.
Right.
I get annoyed, so I just go listen to country music.
Right.
Or
whereas I get annoyed, and I want to get more involved in the show.
Right.
He's exactly right. I'm a chronic, and he's not.
I'll just watch the game and be happy that I watched the game, and I don't need to talk about it with anybody.
Yeah, but you remind me, like, I had a lot of friends who played football at the college level. They could care less about what happened in the NFL the next day. You know?
Yeah, I wasn't huge into the NFL in college or anything.
Yeah.
I wasn't in college because we were so bad. I mean, not my senior year of college, we went 1-15.
But you still love the NFL.
No? Because I didn't have anything to root for.
Oh, okay. All right. Eric, we still know you're there. anything else just before we turn
he said
away?
Not else to report.
Any other creepy comments you'd like to make about Jackie UK?
That wasn't creepy.
Did she show you her rope burn?
No.
That's interesting.
How'd she get a rope
burn? One of those 50 Shades of Grey things.
Was it around her wrist?
She was tied up.
Oh.
Yeah, he asked me about making creepy
comments. And that's not creepy.
A-hole.
I didn't ask her to show them to me. She offered them up. The rope burns.
By them. Okay.
The rope burns. Fred, somebody asked earlier who would win a 40-yard dash, her or B-Lo, and we all said Jackie because she actually works out.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
But Fred, how'd you put it?
I said she'd have an advantage at the tape.
You know.
Yes, we know.
He's talking Lord. About her breasts.
Andy's passionate about it.
We going to do picks?
Yeah, let's do picks. It's quarter of, no break. We got to go right into it. We don't have much time.
That's why people love us. We did go 10 minutes over last week when you left.
Did you?
I purposely ended picks at 10 past 2.
2:10 it took us to get picks
done. See, I told you.
But we didn't step on John.
We started at 1:55, but...
Hi-ho, we knew that John wasn't here last week. That's why we kept going.
All right.
Anyway, new year, Freddie. Yeah. Same old story.
Yeah.
Paulie at the top of the list at 11-5. Eric
again, Paulie keeping the notebook.
At 10 and, and again, Paul, we gladly relinquish those responsibilities to anyone.
You know I'm not capable. I would lose the notebook four times during the year.
Yes, I do know that.
You would relinquish it to anyone but the spreadsheet that keeps track of the ones in the paper.
Oh, no. Because
then we'd all lose.
Right. I'm still doing that. I relinquish it to the spreadsheet still, even with a mistake this week in the paper.
Blatant mistake.
We had some computer errors.
Yeah, I heard about that. You guys were all 6-8.
Worse than that.
Worse than that.
No worse.
Anyway, I went 11-5. Eric 10-6. Andy 9-7. And as we alluded to, we're going to credit with Fred with being 2-1. He accurately picked the Cowboys game because we picked that game on the Wednesday.
I don't think that's fair. His winning percentage is better than mine.
And I gave him a win for the Patriots because he's never ever in the 15 years that I've been with him
ever
picked against the Patriots.
That's not true.
Never picked against.
I gave him a loss.
He's picked the Jets against Patriots.
I gave him a loss for the Jets and the Bills because in the 15 years that I've worked with him, he's never ever picked for the Jets.
That's true.
Even though you used to be a Jets fan.
Long time ago.
So with the spread,
and a Broncos fan.
With the spread, not so good. I went 8-8. Andy and Eric went 7-9. Fred 2-1.
Okay, let's start it off with the game tonight. Chicago goes to the tundra. I don't say frozen tundra because that's
frozen.
Redundant. A tundra is frozen.
It's also
summer. September.
It's also not true.
So you don't say the frozen tundra. It's just tundra.
So John Facenda was wrong.
He's wrong. That's redundant.
He's rolling in his grave. Right? Is he dead?
Yes, long time
ago. Rolling in
very
his
dead.
Very long time
say.
Ago.
Very dead.
All right, so
is there any other kind?
Chicago at Green Bay. What's the number,
years.
Paul?
Six. Packers by six.
Packers by six.
I'm going to take the Packers to win and cover. I don't think they start the year at 0-2 at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. And I have zero to less than zero confidence in Jay Cutler. I know everybody's talking that the Bears are one of those hot teams to pick.
Urlacher fat.
I like Urlacher.
No.
I just don't like Jay Cutler.
Do you
as
like
the
that commercial he does for the.
When he swats the.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
You do.
I like that. It's good.
Snaps the remote.
Yeah.
Throws it.
I like him.
I think I'll take the Packers, too. I'm not really liking the pick,
though.
You
think you will or you will?
No, I will, but I don't really care for the pick. I'll take the Bears with the points. I think it'll be close.
Yeah.
I will take the Packers as well. I don't see them starting the season 0-2.
If they do, can they win the Super Bowl?
A little bit of desperation for them.
On the screen.
So I think.
Where did you get that from?
I think they find a way to get this one done and get that offense
Matt
back.
Light just nodding his head.
Ex-Patriots just found a home between Stephen A. and the other guy.
Right. I'm with Eric. I think that I'm going to take those points, but Green Bay with the win straight up. Kansas City at Buffalo, Sunday at 1.
Ooh. Buffalo by 3.
Two teams with serious disappointments to open the season.
Buffalo by 3.
I am going to vote with my heart yet again and go with Romeo Crennel. They lost at home where they should win, so now they'll win on the road where they shouldn't, and hopefully the Bills just continue to believe they belong in the same sentence with the Patriots.
Nope. The Bills are going to bounce back. The Castle-led Chiefs, unfortunately, aren't going to get it done on the road. Bills by 7 or more.
Mm. I agree with Eric. I think two bad teams playing against each other, I always go with the home team.
Buffalo, I'm going to give him another week.
Okay.
Let's go to New Orleans.
New Orleans
at Carolina. New Orleans at Carolina.
Saints by 2.5. One of six home dogs this week, Carolina.
Got a battle of two MVP quarterback candidates here in Drew Brees and Fred's guy Cam Newton. I will go with the actual MVP candidate, and the Saints bounce back from a debacle against a overrated jag.
Yeah, I will go with the Saints on the road. I'll buy into it. I think the Panthers laid a little bit of an egg last week. I was disappointed with how they played, but I think the Saints are the better team overall, so I'll give them the nod on the
okay.
road.
Okay.
Another desperate team that can't start 0-2. I think New Orleans does bounce back, but a lot of people wondered how they would react to all of the bounty stuff, and you know, certainly the first week was not very positive. So something to keep an eye on there. Maybe this will not be a team that's
you know. But the interesting thing, you're right about that. But you know, everyone thought, well, you know, they'll have their struggles, but Breeze will be Breeze. And people forget he throws interceptions, and he did that last week. He threw like three interceptions.
He has games where he throws a lot of interceptions.
Yeah.
He always has, by the way. Yeah. Like, you know, certain times he just...
Right. He takes a lot of chances. You know, he just...
Brady does that, too. We always talk about those... You know, he hasn't done as much of late, but for a long time there, he had those four-pick debacles where he just looked terrible.
Just one game where...
Terrible.
Yeah, usually in Denver, but... I'm going to go with Carolina. I think that they're going to... I call it an upset.
So. It would be an upset.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, they're a home dog.
Let's go. We're still Sunday at 1. Cleveland at Cincinnati.
We're two games in.
I know.
Cleveland at Cincinnati.
Bengals by 7.
I'm going to jump ship on my Whedon fandom.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully it's not going to take him a while to develop.
After he got,
really have
after
time.
He got lost underneath the American flag?
Yeah. Tough opening for the veteran rookie. I am going to go with the Bengals to bounce back. You know, sometimes when I just go with the best player on the field, his name's A.J. Green. He's a Bengal.
Yeah, the Bengals are the better team overall. Whedon, I have not liked since his college days. He sucks.
You know, way back in his college days.
No, he sucks.
I just thought he was a college guy.
Yeah, he was a good college player, but he sucks as a
pro. You liked Kevin O'Connell.
I did.
I did like Kevin O'Connell as well. But I will take the Bengals here, although 7's a lot of points to lay for a team that doesn't score all that much. But I will lay them here. Cleveland clearly played pretty good defense in week one. We'll see if they can continue to do it.
I wonder how, as the season progresses, this new owner will affect things. You know, he says he's going to kind of be in the background there in Cleveland, but Holmgren's got to start wondering what's his future and all that stuff. And if he starts in the coach, if they start, you know, not focusing.
That's Fred speak for I can't think of the coach's name.
Yeah, whatever.
Pat Shurmur.
Pat Shurmur.
The coach.
So I'm going to take Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati could emerge in that division. All right.
As what?
As the winner.
Okay.
The wiener. Minnesota.
He thinks he's going out on a limb. They won, like, what, 11 games last year and went to the playoffs?
Yeah, but everybody thinks of that division, undressed. And they think Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
And they get undressed by Baltimore.
Right. Minnesota at Indianapolis.
Minnesota by 1.5.
1.5.
I will go with Minnesota because they are the better all-around team, but I don't feel overly good about this.
That's
I don't have a lot of faith in Minnesota,
yep.
And I think Luck is going to keep that team in games, make some plays at some times. I'll take the Vikings, but
Luck
not
be a Brady tonight.
Different game.
What does that mean?
He's going to play like Brady.
But what is the song?
Luck be a lady.
Luck be a lady.
Frank Sinatra standard.
Oh, my God. Brooklyn Matt, please help me out
Chime
here.
In.
Jeez.
Why, has the British guy heard it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Frank Sinatra, for
almost
crying
everybody
out loud.
In the world has heard that song.
I may have heard it. I just don't know it.
What do you have to know it? You have to go
like,
to sleep
it
with it?
Well,
it's
first
not
of all, would you sing?
What?
It's not a woman. You don't have to know it biblically.
No, but if it came on, I might say, oh, yeah, I've heard that song.
You've never heard Luck Be a Lady Tonight?
It doesn't ring a bell right now.
Oh, my God. You need your bell rung.
That, in this era, that's not a funny joke. It's a very serious time.
I will take the Vikings to win. I do agree that Luck will
be
keep
a lady
it close.
Tonight.
Oh, my God. What was the number again, Paul?
1.5.
Eric's never had that luck,
so he puts on one ribbon.
It's just plain inaccurate when you say stuff like that.
Don't play that.
Eric once won the lottery and had that luck.
Ay.
She was drunk.
You got to cue it up to the chords. They
Vikings
were framed.
Both ways.
Yeah, I'll take the Colts, and for the opposite reason that Andy did, I actually think the Colts are a better team than Minnesota, and I'll take them at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Colts. Sunday at 1, Houston at Jacksonville.
Houston at Jacksonville, 7.5. Houston.
Ooh, I'll take Houston.
A large road favorite.
To win and cover. Even though I think my guy is bouncing back, Blaine Gabbert, he's going to bounce on his back this week.
Texans big.
Yes, I will take that pass rush for Houston to cause a lot of problems for Andy's boy.
Me too. Houston all the way.
Taylor Price.
Oakland at Miami. West Coast team going to the East Coast. About as far away you could get from Oakland, all the way down in Miami.
Oakland by 2.5.
I'm going to take Oakland. I don't feel good about it. I don't feel good about either of these teams, but I think Miami sucks and Oakland's just not good.
I'm going to go with the Raiders, too. I agree. I don't think Miami's a very good team, and Oakland is just slightly better. I'll take them on the road to win.
Did they get a long snapper this week?
I don't know. I agree with both of you. I don't think Miami's very good, but I'm going to stick
they
with my theory.
Lonnie.
Two bad teams playing each other. I'll go with the home team.
Lonnie worked out for the
early
Reds
in the year.
Team.
I don't know who's worse
yeah.
yet.
I have no.
So I'll go with Miami.
I'm with Paul. I have no reason to know to pick Miami, but I'm just going to go with Miami. Just
how about my
the
theory?
Team.
Go with the best player on the field. Who's that?
Darren McFadden.
He's had a very good week, though. A lot of touches, but
yeah, he's much better as a receiver than a.
He caught a lot of passes. He didn't do much
as a rusher. He did nothing as a rusher.
I believe he had the lowest yardage for a guy with that many receptions in like the history of the game or something.
Well, I don't know if it was that bad, but I did see it was like 10 catches for like 60
yards. Something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let's go to
like Welker, like
Tampa Bay at the Giants. Tampa Bay at the Giants.
Giants by 7.5.
Giants play all their games at home this year, or what? What's the deal?
They've played all of them there so far, Fred.
As Bill would say, for every home game, there's a road game. Unless they play the Jets again. Then it doesn't always play out.
Tampa Bay at the Giants.
What was the number?
7.5.
I didn't hear it. You don't have to give me that look. Condescending prick.
I gave you nothing. I'm not good needs. You can't call me that.
Yeah, you're not as condescending as he is. I will go with...
unbelievable.
I will go with the Giants. What are you laughing at?
I'm not condescending at all.
Are we allowed to say that word?
What?
They said it on
the Sports Hub 3 times in the span of
John,
about
are we not allowed to say
seconds?
That word?
We can say whatever
rhymes with...
Stick.
Dick.
I pricked my finger.
7.5.
I cracked John up with that one.
rhymes with N is.
We gotta hurry. We really gotta hurry.
I will take the Giants. I don't like the Bucks.
I will take the Giants too. I think the Bucks. I agree. I don't think they're that great a team, but on the road,
who'd they beat last week?
Carolina.
School for the blind.
Manhandled them. I will take the Giants as well. Another desperate team that, you know, has playoff aspirations that lost the opener.
If all these good teams went 0-2,
someone's
no, but
lose.
If they all went 0-2,
somebody would have
right,
to.
Then somebody's help. Probably going to bounce back them, and go from 0-2 right. to the.
Oh, I mean, I don't think anybody would be closing the door on anybody that's 0-2.
ESPN said if they go 0-2, can they win the Super
I'll
Bowl?
I'll take the Giants as well. Baltimore at Philadelphia, 1 o'clock. Baltimore at Philadelphia.
Philadelphia by 2.5.
You know what? I'm going with Baltimore. Yeah. Philadelphia let me down early in the season. I don't like Michael Vick. And the Ravens defense
Eric,
is... Whoa!
Ravens are... We have to hurry.
We have
it's
to hurry.
Time
we don't
Rook.
Have to hurry.
Yes, we do. It's time for Rook.
Rook
almost.
Loves it when we do some of his show for him.
Yeah, but I got things to do. Other than make
Ravens
fun
are the
Carol
better
Hardy.
Team. I'll take them on the road.
I will take the Ravens as well. I will be interested to see how... The Ravens' offensive line.
All right, against next game.
Because the Ravens' offensive line is a big question mark. See how they handle Philadelphia.
I'm going to take Ravens as well. All right, we skip over the Patriots, and we go into the 405 slot. Dallas at Seattle. Dallas at Seattle.
I don't know how you managed it the other day, Paul.
Dallas by 3.
Dallas. Got to hurry.
Yeah, Cowboys on the road.
Cowboys.
Yep.
Everybody taking
the
Cowboys?
I will take Seattle.
Oh, really? Good call. I'm taking
Dallas. Come on, Seattle.
405, Washington at St. Louis.
Washington
at St. Louis.
Washington at St. Louis. I am going with my phenom quarterback, Sam Bradford, to beat the other phenom quarterback, RG3.
Washington by 3.
I don't see the rookie going 2-0. In his debut, I like Bradford.
You don't just go into St. Louis and beat Sam Bradford.
Some people do.
A lot of people do.
But not him.
Yeah, I'll take Washington because I just don't think St. Louis is very good.
Yeah, Washington wins the game, and the place goes icky balooky for RG3.
They're going to play all their games away this year?
Who's that?
Washington, they're going to play all their games
on the road. They're going to play all their games on the road, yep.
Maybe the Giants play at Washington back-to-back.
New York Jets at Pittsburgh, 425 game. Remember, no longer 415, 425. Jets at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh by 6.
I think Palomalo's hiding an injury. That's my theory.
I am going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers to win at home.
Good call.
I just don't like the Jets.
Not for that reason, but I think the Jets are going to nosedive after their phony win
over
the
Bills. I hope
you're
right, Eric.
Whoa, you're picking Roethlisberger hot dog?
I am. Second week in a row I'm picking the worthless hot dog.
I will take Pittsburgh as well. Coming out at home, I think they want to bounce back. And the
Jets
will be feeling too good about themselves.
I actually think the Jets are going to win this game, but I'm not picking them. I'm going to go for Pittsburgh.
It's covering all those bases.
Tennessee at San Diego.
Chargers by 6.
Chargers by more than 6.
Okay. Eric?
Yeah, Chargers at home, yeah, by 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I like San Diego as well.
All right. And I'll take San Diego as well. Let's move to Sunday night.
Okay.
At 8:20. Ooh. Detroit at San Francisco.
Detroit.
The handshake game. Handshake.
Yes.
Cut. 6.5.
That
San
was
Francisco.
Fun, by the way. I love that. Was a great story.
Exchange. We got to get through this. Come on now. I'm going to take the 49ers at home. That defense looks pretty good. I wasn't in love with the Lions to open the season.
Especially
not
the way they played.
I don't think they're a mature football team. So maybe they'll get up for this and surprise
starts
me.
At the top.
Yeah, I'll take the home team.
I'll take the home team, too.
What's the number, Paul, again?
6.5.
I'll take the Niners and the number.
Yeah, I'll take San Francisco, although I don't like laying a lot of points with that offense. I will do so here.
I am going to take San Francisco, but I will also take the points. Denver at Atlanta, Monday night, 8:30, Denver at Atlanta. Matty Ice versus Peyton Manning.
Matty Ice coming off a big, big, big opening day win at Kansas City.
Yep.
And?
Atlanta by 3.
Waiting for the number. I am going to take the Denver Broncos to win and cover. Did you say Denver by 3?
Yep.
No, Atlanta by
3. Oh, well, then I'll just take Denver. Because I'm never sold on the Falcons. I don't like the Falcons.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
I always am sold on the Falcons, and I'm going to take them again this week. I just
right.
And I'm not buying Manning yet.
Yep.
I will take Denver.
I'm going to take Atlanta in this game. All right, now we move back.
Is that a Brian Finneran pick? You go with the best player on the team.
now we move back to Sunday at 1. The Patriots hosting the Arizona Cardinals.
Biggest number of the week, 13.5.
13.5.
Not big enough. Patriots will win and cover.
Really?
Ridley won't have a buck 25, but they will be balanced. They will have some big plays out of the passing attack, 60-plus yard type plays out of the passing attack, at least 2 turnovers for the defense, maybe another defensive score. Roland,
Eric.
I like the Patriots to win, but give me the points because I think it's going to be closer than most people think.
Negative.
I like the Patriots big in this one, 31-10.
I like the Patriots, but give me the points.
Negative.
Freddie.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this show. Thank you, Warren.
That's nonsense.
From the UK.
Thanks for lunch, Warren.
Coming by and buying us lunch.
Warren came by?
John Rook is standing by with Patriots Playbook and Football Champs. Football Nation. No, it's not football. Football Nation is coming up at 4 o'clock. They're going to be talking everything NFL. Pre-game social. Sunday morning, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.